got to watch Death Race 2000? What is the matter with you in trying to learn your wife's stuff?
What? What are you talking about? I've seen it for ages.
But you wouldn't let her watch it?
What do you mean I wouldn't let her watch it? Like, I can control what she does.
I don't know.
Have you met her?
Yeah. Okay. However,
nothing. She did not have the childhood that we did, in which you just were left to basically go raid the video store. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It would take a long time to catch her up on all the films that I have seen that are worth seeing.
Okay.
Because she has a life, see? Yes, I'm talking about you.
Already?
Oh, the floor walker walked by.
Wait a minute. So while we're pulling in people, she tried to watch Journey to the Seventh Planet, something I've never even seen, about the exploration of Uranus. And she didn't like it very much, so she would like a recommendation. Rox, you know what? Since you're giving me hell about not letting her see Death Race 2000, like I forbid it. Right. What should she see now, then?
Did you watch Krull? Did she see Krull?
You have to understand, for her family, her and her family, Krull is a religious experience.
Okay, I didn't know that. I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. She's got a tattoo of a glaive, like, on her back. It's crazy.
Okay, the hills have eyes.
Oh, Jesus.
What? Really? Why not? What?
Isn't that's kidnappy, though.
Oh.
Kidnappy? Is that a word?
Oh, my God, yeah. No, she's got to think about kidnapping.
The adjective of kidnapping is kidnappy?
Yeah.
Yes, if something has kidnapping in it, that makes it kidnappy. As opposed to something that, you know, you used to take a dump in when you were very small.
It's made of goat skin. The nappies are made of goat skin.
Oh, you mean the nappies in the hills have eyes?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Let's see.
Did not watch The Hills Have Eyes.
Do not watch. Oh, okay.
Did not watch I Spit on Your Grave.
No. Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, the original one with Pam Darby.
Oh, okay.
That's not kidnapping until the end. But no. I mean, the whole thing of thwarting little people with a camera and a flashbulb is amazing. And Uncle Charlie's in it.
It's insane.
Yeah. So that one.
And the original Don't Be Afraid of the Dark.
Pam Darby and Jim Hutton.
Was it Pam Darby or Kim Darby?
Kim Darby, whoever.
Something Darby.
Yes. And not Darby O'Gill and the Little People. That is yet another film about little people.
And not Pam Dauber.
No.
Oh, it's the new guy. Hey, new guy. You're late.
It's not the new guy. It's West Coast JJ.
Yeah, thank you.
It's West Coast
JJ. Oh, okay.
Does that mean we're going to come up against some crazy podcast version of Master Pandemonium?
Ooh, I hope so. We need ratings. We need a ratings boost.
I was about to say ratings. Rated NC-17 by the Who Gives a Shit Foundation.
So I had news today.
Oh, yeah. So wait, before you tell us about storming the Capitol, there is this that I need to take care of. Okay. What were you going to say?
So, Florida, Florida's capital, which is in Tallahassee, allowed me into their state capitol building
today.
Have
you made them secede from the Union, Rox? Is this your evil empire now? Have you
controlled? No, just so you know, in Washington, D.C., there is the Florida House. There was a time when Florida had its own embassy. Okay, when Florida was owned by either the English or the Spanish, one of the times that Florida has its own embassy in Washington. Nice. And it's called, and you know, you can go to the Florida House and they'll serve you orange juice unless you know taxes were cut and they got rid of that. So anyway, yeah, I got to play a little bit of a lobbyist today. Or or, you know, House of Cards, if you will. It was really interesting.
So, so were you in the new capital or the old historic capital?
The new one. No, I think the old capital is now a museum.
Yes, it is. I just wanted to make that you were actually doing some lobbying work and not talking to...
No, I was doing some
curator. Because, goddamn it, Rox, you just never know with you.
See, the whole trick is she was in neither. She was talking to the Star Chamber people who actually hunt Florida.
She was at the bar down the street, or whatever.
She was basically at Disney is where she was.
Right.
No, I got up at 4:30 today to go to Tallahassee.
When you wish upon a Star Chamber.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes.
Does that mean we're going to get the Imagineers to run the
government? Now here's the cool part. I posted, did you see the thing about IO9 about why does finger tenting look so sinister? Did anyone see that?
Did you pay for that study?
No, I didn't. However, I saw that before I went there and I started doing that when we were meeting with some legislators and two senators. I'm like, it was basically, we're trying to get a thing where it's called an independent tax bracket for our library so that our funding doesn't go through city council. So we're trying to do this whole thing. Plus we're trying to get extra money from legislators so we can have, you know, extra money. Of which, get this. So the library, our library, has like 256 full-time employees. Guess how much money they spend on training? About $2,995. And at one point, because I'm not paid by the library, basically I'm kind of a lobbyist for the day. At one point, I reach over the table. I'm like, look at this number right here. And I start circling on this guy's, you know, his copy of the paper. I said, see this? It's under $3,000. That's like $11 in training. You can't go to the movies for that. And he's like looking at me because, you know, I did steampunk it up today, of course.
Have your top hat?
No. Oh. No, but I have I finally got my black frock coat for my sister, Roberta.
You at least had a monocle, though, right? Stroke the cat when you weren't tenting your hands?
No, I thought tenting the hands was pretty good.
All right.
Because that. They say that is something about it is
the gateway to the soul.
Well, that too. But
that's the church, and then there's the steeple, and then you open the doors, and then there's people, right?
It's one of the most dramatic ways of showing confidence is steepling your hands.
So, because you have dominion over the little people.
That's right. Or miniature people.
Just beware that you're not, you know, tenting someplace else.
Okay.
That wouldn't be a problem for you, Rox.
No. Unless I'm wearing a tight t-shirt, so.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Is it cold in here?
Yeah. Which, it's supposed to get to 30 here in Florida. Oh. So, yes, if you want to be formidable in a meeting, steeple your hands, your fingers, like Mr. Burns.
Yes.
Or Lionel Barrymore. I didn't know this. Harry Shearer based Mr. Burns off of Lionel Barrymore and his character, Mr. Potter, from It's a Wonderful Life.
Yay!
Because I really hate that film, except for Lionel Barrymore.
Okay. Fuck you.
Happy New Year to you in jail! Yeah. So anyway, I think we did good.
Good?
Yeah. You know, it's like, hey, give us more money. Really. I won't leave. The weird thing is I don't, you get like 15 minutes with these people and it's like here, boom, 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 boom. And, you know, even if somebody has, it's kind of funny when you see the wheels of government work, and sometimes it's a lot of, you know, lobbying and stuff like that. So this is like my first experience of doing something like that, and I had fun. We had like four of us, and we'd split up every once in a while. It's like, okay, you take so and so, you take so and so, and at one point, one of our legislators.
So you had a key party?
No. Wow. Yeah, I'm sure. Well, no, we left Tallahassee before dark, so wasn't really a key party.
Did you see Scott while you're there?
No.
How about Shag? You see Shag?
He's out of town. I actually texted him.
You tried to reach out to him, but not Scott?
I texted Scott like last
week. Fuck all y'all.
Well, yeah, that was pretty much his answer about me showing up, was that. He's got family in town.
Like, does he live with family? He always has family in town.
He lives with his grandmother. I'm like,
grandmama.
Yeah, and he's doing Mickey Faust this week. So I had to come back because I have like an 8. I'm not going to be on until 11 because I got an 8 o'clock breakfast meeting tomorrow.
Wow, you're retired and you're all of a sudden really busy.
I know. And it's a sabbatical. It's not retirement, okay? Yes.
A sabbatical that goes to her death.
Yeah. No, my former employers came up with that term. I did not. So it is a sabbatical of sort, or a leave of, you know.
A leave what like I, the medicine?
A grieve leave. How's a grieve leave?
Grieving and leaving.
There you go. Yeah. So yes, I, you know what? I, ever since I left Inky Fingers, I have to use this calendar app like all the fucking time. It's like, okay, where am I? Oh, therapy. Okay. There's therapy. Oh, here's another meeting. Oh, 8 o'clock in the morning. Oh, there we go. You know, it's my life is busy. How weird. I have to put in another event too right now. So yeah, talk to your state legislators and senators and stuff, kids, because government's fun. Kids jump at the chance of being like little pages and interns and stuff. So, oh, here's a thing. What I found out is if you're going the route of wanting to be a lobbyist and all, know the aides. The helpers.
The disease? Okay.
The helpers. Because they're the gatekeepers to the people of power.
Aren't a lot of lobbyists basically politicians who didn't get another term? And
well, we had one here. I'll say your name. Tilly Fowler. She set a term for herself. There was a group of incoming politicians, get this, that they tried to say, look, we only want to go like a couple terms and we're done. This is what everybody should do. Not everybody should be a career politician. And she was one of them, but she turned around and became a really big lobbyist here. For the Navy, for Navy families too.
In the Navy.
Yeah. So, but she passed away some time ago. But I always liked her, and I don't. She was in my district. But yeah, she was a legislator or congresswoman, I think, or something. And she did only like a couple terms, and she was done, and made big bucks becoming a lobbyist. There's more money in lobbying than being a senator or congressperson, just so you know. But get to know the helpers of these people. That's it.
That's it. That's all.
Yeah, I know. It's not really exciting. It's a lot of like traveling from one office to another office to another office, photo ops and stuff. Yeah. At one point, apparently I didn't know what this one guy's political party was, and his aide's like, well, do you want a picture with him? I'm like, well, yeah, we're, you know, and somebody's like, really? Like, why not? We're here. Get a photo. So what? okay. It's like, whatever.
Well, yeah, unless he's one of those douchebag Republicans.
I don't know. I don't care. I'm on sabbatical. I don't care. He is a bum. He is a bum.
They're all bums. Doesn't matter what the political party is.
It doesn't. Because it's like, oh, yeah. I'm going to be a politician. So. And it's a lot of seeing people. I don't know how they get anything done. Because there were some people that were there. And they have like there was the deaf. Oh, here's something. You can't say people who are. There was a group there. They didn't want to be called hearing impaired. They want to be called deaf.
And well, they make up their mind.
They
John, they can't hear you.
Speak louder, John.
Get this. They're trying to legislate signers. You know, at speeches and stuff. Ever since that Mandela thing. Because that guy didn't have any licensing, you know, the one that was just sort of hand jiving during Mandela's, you know, funeral or right. Whatever. So deaf Americans are trying to get
Please tell me they're not calling themselves deaf Americans.
I called it deaf Americans, and I'm sorry, but they want to be called deaf.
Again, they can't hear you, so it doesn't matter.
I know.
They want to be called deaf jammers.
They can't. They can read your lips, though, John.
Oh, that's true. I should probably stop putting this on Google Hangout, then.
Here you go. Yeah.
Olive juice.
Okay, nobody's watching if you're on Google Hangout.
Especially
it was a lot of, hey, we're from Jacksonville, blah, blah, blah. You know, there was no, like, here's a pile of money scooting across the table or anything like that, or death threats.
Should have gone to New Orleans. That's where that kind of politics takes place.
You know, I'll think about it. I got the hand tenting thing down, though. Just saying.
So this is interesting. Rox, you'll appreciate this. And probably the rest of you as well. They're submitting True Detective for the Emmys as a drama series and not a miniseries.
Really? What's the difference?
The difference is that it, well, like with comics, they knew it was going to go 8 episodes and like end. It's like American Horror Story. American Horror Story is considered a miniseries because each season is its own thing.
Uh-huh.
So you could do that. And my thought was, as I'm sitting there watching that pretty much from episode 1, is that I pity whoever is up against Matthew McConaughey.
I know.
Emmys, because he's going to fucking show me the performance that's going to beat that.
Who's up against Matthew McConaughey? Matthew McConaughey 10 years from now.
Here's the thing.
My Man as a series? Never mind.
In his,
please tell me you got that joke,
that Rich. Dallas Hust. What was that movie he was in?
Dallas Buyers Club.
Oh my God! It's like, how much weight did that man lose? I mean, 35
pounds. He's just a skinny dude.
He is a skinny dude, and then he just became like Christian Bale, weird, creepy, skinny guy.
He was maybe 10 pounds over Christian Bale, weird, creepy. Because Christian Bale, like a freaking like those films you see of liberating the camps. You know?
I know, but. I saw him in he got really skinny for True Detective, right. But he looked scary skinny in that movie.
Okay, I haven't seen the movie.
It's so skinny. It's like creepy skinny Christian Bale skinny.
Okay, all right, I got you. Now,
though? That's what I want to know.
Real skinny.
Here's the thing, though, about True Detective, though, is that while he was so skinny and wiry, he was still so you believed that he could like get into a fight with Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson,
he was like a miniature tank almost when he gets pissed off.
Yeah.
Like take him. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's like ninja guy.
Yeah. So we're gonna talk about
True Detective.
I liked it.
We finished it?
Yeah.
Have we? I don't remember.
I saw where your wife said she liked it.
Okay, we haven't talked about
it. I don't think we talked about it.
Who has seen True Detective, though?
I have not watched it yet.
I have.
Single episode.
Look at that. I've actually seen something a lot of other people haven't. Holy shit.
house. He's serving it up with some service. But you got, okay. They, Rocks, sir, they need to watch it.
Oh my God, yeah.
We don't need to talk about it. They need to watch it.
Well, let me say this.
Say that.
And you might get upset with me. I enjoyed every episode.
Okay.
But when I think back, I'm not sure that I enjoyed the entire series. Does that make sense?
I can see that.
Yeah. Every episode I was riveted to, and I needed to see it, and I wanted to see the next one.
Right.
But when I think back over the entire arcing series, there are pieces of it that I'm like, well, there's a big string they never fucking pulled out, yes, followed up on, and here's another one over here, and here's another one over here.
But the thing is okay, even though it's an anthology, and I agree with you on stuff missing, because, you know, there's that footage, and there were other people in the footage, and it's like, well, how was it this guy? I got a little confused a little bit.
Well, there's one scene at the end of one of the episodes, and everybody just went kind of ape shit over it, and then I never felt like that got worked back out.
I don't know which scene that is, but here's what I would say, is that to me, this reminds me of Broadchurch. Mm-hmm. And at the end of Broadchurch, the resolution of Broadchurch wasn't all that great.
Yeah.
It sort of could not stand up to the weight of its own buildup. And the reason for that was the characters and the writing was so good. Mm-hmm. But what I figured out was, it was like the feeling I got at the end of No Country for Old Men, when you realize that the film wasn't what you I don't even know how to say this, and I haven't even been drinking that much. You thought it was about one thing. It turns out it was about something completely different. Broadchurch was not about the mystery. It was about the characters. And I think True Detective, a lot of that, it's not about the mystery. It was more so than in Broadchurch. At the end of it, it's about those two characters and what happened to them because of the arc that they took, both of them. And they did a really good job of handling that over the course of the series. So
yes.
I'm with you. I think it's almost, it can completely sink the experience for you if you just go, well, shit, what, you know, I thought this was a mystery story. Well, it is, but it's not. It's a mystery story in the same way that, you know, like Transmetropolitan was a sci-fi comic book, you know. It's that's the genre, but it's sort of doing something else on the side. So I would almost say at some point I'm going to watch it again, just because.
I'll tell you, there's, and I've said this before,
yeah,
about actors and what they can do with their body.
Yeah.
And the first episode I watched with Widge and Cosette, and I said I could watch Matthew McConaughey smoke cigarettes all day long.
Agreed.
There was something what he was doing with his hands when he was talking that was just riveting. It was just like
his face, his the way he had his eyes, his pop. Mm-hmm. It was one of those situations where, from the moment he hit the screen, all three of us were like, "Holy shit!"
Yeah, yes.
So,
and that bad guy.
Careful.
Careful,
spoilers.
I know. Well, damn.
We'll talk later.
It's all right.
They need to see it. If it was,
no, yeah, they're not going to watch it.
No, they should. They should.
It's high on my list. It's just, you know, there's a list.
Well, the best thing is, it is only 8 episodes. Every episode's an hour, so at some point you could binge watch it in a day.
Yeah. You can binge watch it.
Well, I would tell you this. The reason why I don't watch a lot of television is because I don't have a lot of time. So I have a great appreciation for, like, what was it? I watched like the first episode of Mind Games the other day, and I'm like, well, it's nifty, but I don't want to invest the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm very cautious about what I get invested in.
Right.
I will drop a show if necessary.
Yes.
Fucking True Detective was worth it. In fact, we watched like we watch one show a night. We'll watch a show over dinner and then we'll finish it. And then we get back to whatever it is that we're doing, working, whatnot. That was one of those where we went, we finished episode 7 and went, fuck it, we need to watch the next one.
Yes. Oh, I know. I did the same thing.
Which I think I have done twice before. Once was the end of series 5 of Doctor Who, and once was the first series of Luther.
Yeah.
And I think we did that because we had them both at the same time. So I would say bump it up the list and you will be pleased.
Well, HBO is one of it makes it a little harder to see stuff than some of the other channels. You know, because they don't put anything out to be watched in any other venue except HBO or HBO Go.
Yeah, true.
So it's like you either have HBO, you wait till it comes out on DVD and pay way too much for it, or you steal it.
Uh-huh.
So I take it you don't have HBO.
I don't have HBO, but I am making plans to become a better criminal soon.
Are you going to be a fun-loving criminal?
JJ.
Or maybe a smooth criminal?
Listen, wait a minute. JJ, say that again, but steeple your fingers.
Oh, you're right. Well, how could you tell my fingers weren't steeple?
Because you kind of didn't really say that with conviction.
Sure. I'm holding a microphone. It's hard to steeple the mic.
Okay.
Is that what you call it? Microphone?
He just keeps seeing the people.
His fingers, then drop the mic. I'm going to become a better criminal. Bam.
Yeah. I'm
and a rap artist.
It's just, okay, so I have recently, my apartment building has gone to free Wi-Fi. And it's just funny, in investigating how to protect your sensitive information over, you know, non-encrypted lines, it just turns out that everything that makes you more safe to do financial things online also make you a almost hard to find or almost impossible to find criminal online as well. So yay.
Okay, slacker villain.
that was you on the latest episode of The Blacklist.
Really?
What?
I didn't watch it. Damn it.
So
I kind of fell out of love with that show.
Well, okay, why?
I think I know.
Well, the biggest reason is we moved across country and things were kind of crazy for a little while there, but it's one of those shows.
Which side of the world are you on? Are you West Coast now?
West Coast.
Okay.
He's my neighbor.
Me and JJ are damn like neighbors right now.
Oh, wow.
So much like me and Sir, that means he'll never see you.
Yeah. Oh,
except at Dragon Con.
Possibly. Maybe on the flight to Dragon Con and back as well.
Yeah. Fly Alaska. It's the cheapest from here.
Delta was only 420 round trip recently, but
420? 420, are you sure? Who's 420?
That's the flight.
Let me have a sip of my medicine here.
Sorry, here's my license to carry.
Next year.
All right, so why did you fall out of love?
Well, honestly, like I said, moved across country, and it was the holidays and everything else was going on, and when we got the house finally set up and, you know, habitable, everything else, it was just one of those shows that didn't really bother to DVR or anything with, and haven't really missed it since.
Oh. You know, I had a death, and I still watch the show.
Oh, damn.
Sorry.
But it is
I'm feeling a little better, okay?
Rox, to be fair, it is a show about a master criminal, so that really is therapy for you.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
The one thing I will say, Serv, I think it's episode 11, which is the James Spader goes around the world exacting hideous revenge episode.
Oh, yeah, that's, you know what? Yeah, you can almost skip all the other ones. Yep. Start off with
but 11. Go and see that one at least.
Yes. Yeah.
That one, Serv. You will sit there and then pretend the rest of the series is like that.
Yes.
And you'll be so happy.
Right.
Be so
just
happy.
Just watch 11.
Well, what if I just watch 11 and say, wow, that was really good. Now I'm content.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm not saying pick up there. I'm saying if you've abandoned the show, I would say, no, go back, watch that one episode and make sure it is the, in fact, I'll check during one of our inevitable moments of lulls of conversation. Make sure. I don't want to steer you wrong because the episode was that fucking good.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was pretty much 90% Spader.
Yeah.
And really, that is the reason I watched the show, because it is so poorly written. that it just hurts me.
The villains are just so like, huh, what? Okay. But yeah, Spader is that good.
Yeah. But
you want villains like that to be in real life.
And
not really, but you know,
and
in my mind.
Is that since you know, we've established Serv won't watch episode 16. But you've seen like last week's with the Yakuza guy, right, Rox?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Here's, now it's almost like cartoony.
It was just dumb, okay?
It was dumb.
Now, let's see, Rox, see if you agree with this. You have a situation in which you have three characters in a room. One's tied to a chair. Mm-hmm. The other one is basically in charge of the situation. Mm-hmm. And telling a third character, I call and do this, and then we're good. Guy in the chair is like, don't make the call. Once you make the call, he's going to kill your ass, and then he's going to kill me.
Uh-huh.
So you are supposed to be some sort of trained operative, this third person. Mm-hmm. You turn your back on the person is going to kill you and make the call for real. You should have faked anyway. Yeah. And then he proceeds to wait for it, kill you, okay? And then smack you while your back is turned. Hang on, Rox. Here's what would have been so much cooler and made the character who did the killing so much more evil is you know that you're not going to turn your back on this guy. You make the call looking at him in the face. He looks back at you. You finish the call. Then you fucking hit her. You hit the third person who's made the call. Knock her down. That's when, sorry for the spoilers, you take off your glasses very slowly and you sort of get everything ready because you know you're about to go. That would have been so much more evil than, well, now I'm going to take off my glasses and get ready to hit you because you turned your fucking back.
I know. I agreed on that whole, there's a fight scene. I'm sorry. There's a fight scene. No. Just, if you want to be that much of a badass, you just, you know, knife her. Whatever.
I actually liked the whole.
Did you?
I liked it, but
because that was a lot. No, I'm sorry, that's a waste of energy.
But I will say this though, and this makes sense, Rox. If you think about it, if you're gonna beat someone then choke them, that's a lot less blood to have to clean up than stabbing.
But he still made a mess with that.
He made a little bit of a mess, yeah. But if you think about it, his giant cowboy hat probably soaked up most of the blood. Yeah, no spoilers. We watched two veterans from The Wire get killed on an episode of Black.
Yeah, Wars. I know. Yeah.
Damn.
There you go.
Hey, I've got a little interesting tidbit here.
Oh, what's that?
His penis.
Does No. That's a different tidbit altogether.
It's not interesting.
Well, not to you, thankfully. Where's Scott when you need him? Anyway.
Ladies.
Oh, y'all.
So, March 24th, 1984. What movie geek thing makes that date significant?
I know this, but I won't.
I know.
Oh, everybody knows. Good. I'm glad. John, you know?
No.
JJ, you know?
Nope. I have a suspicion, but I don't know.
Okay. March 24th, 1984 is the date that Andrew Clark, Brian Johnson, Allison Reynolds, Claire Standish, and John Bender report for Saturday morning detention at Shermer High School.
High school.
And became the Misfits of Science.
Well, something like
well,
that.
Misfits of Science I would have watched way before The Breakfast Club. I was never a John Hughes guy.
Wow.
I still
That's
live
right.
in West Coast,
it.
JJ.
It got cold in here.
The only John Hughes movie I've ever really liked was Ferris Bueller. I don't know. The
oh, you know what? Movies. Okay, here's the thing. I have a confession to make.
Yeah?
I'm not a big Ferris Bueller fan.
What about the rest of John Hughes' movies?
I like Breakfast Club. I really do. I don't.
That wasn't
you know.
The question I asked you. I was really
what?
Asking you the question, do you like all the other John Hughes movies and not Ferris Bueller, so you'd be like the anti-JJ?
Really?
Yes.
How can you not like weird science?
I like weird science, and I'm steepling my fingers.
I forgot about weird science. I'm okay
with
weird
science.
But
JJ, but okay. Now, come on. You got to love Uncle Buck, though. Come on.
Uncle Buck, yeah.
Come on.
I've seen Uncle Buck.
Oh, dude.
God, what is the matter with you people? First
I got it
it's
here,
Death
man.
Race
come on
2000,
over.
Now Uncle Buck?
Dude, go to Serve's place. Call in from there.
This show up at his house around 3 a.m.
Uncle Buck is fantastic.
He is sort of a superhero, so you could do your thing with Aaron on it.
Yeah, you know what? Uncle Buck is kind of like the wouldn't it be great if Uncle Buck turned out to be the Nick Fury of the John Hughes universe? I could see that. He is that kind of resourceful kind of guy.
Speaking of which, did anybody see the Marvel thing that they put on in place of S.H.I.E.L.D. last weekend?
Captain, Buck is an uncle. He's the uncle. Sorry.
Uncle Bucky.
That's Uncle the Winter Uncle.
That was a Barnes burner. Sorry. Yes, to answer your question, yes, John, I saw it.
I thought it was really well done, actually. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, some of that was taken from when the Avengers did a Target exclusive? They had a completely separate Blu-ray that had all the bonus stuff on it that you wished had been on the regular Blu-ray. Some of that was from that. They had like an hour and a half long ramp up to the Avengers assembling the Marvel Universe deal, but it only took you through the Avengers. Now, not all of that up to like Avengers in that TV special was from there, but some of it was. It was very cool. I thought it was good, and I especially liked the sneaky Ant-Man bits they threw in at the end.
That's what I was going to mention. Yeah, that was I had not seen anything of Ant-Man, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere.
I understand from Tuffley that's from the test footage that Edgar Wright shot like eons ago. So,
I've seen that test footage. It's amazing.
Really? Nice. Because, I don't know. I can't fucking wait for Captain America. I'm really looking forward to Guardians. And each episode of The Blacklist, I think more and more about how awesome James Spader is going to be as Ultron.
Yeah.
God, I want to see that.
Now, they've shown Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. Any thoughts on the costuming?
Well, production, basically like concept art, right?
They have photos of them.
Really?
The actors in the costumes, yeah.
They're distant photos, yeah. Like, there's a picture of a guy that we're assuming is Ultron, who's just a fellow wearing a puffy coat and some silver pieces on
the
outside.
The thought is that he's just a stand-in, though. He's just kind of... Because all the... it's all supposed to be motion capture stuff for Spader.
Yeah. But I thought the look of the Scarlet Witch reminded me a little bit of kind of how they went with her for X-Men Evolution, and I thought that was a cool look on that cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. And as far as the Quicksilver, it's not remarkable. I mean,
which is interesting because Quicksilver is also in Days of Future Past, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, and the funny thing to me about that is it's in Days of Future Past, it's Evan Peters, who I first saw in Kick-Ass. And in The Avengers 2, it's Aaron Johnson, who played Kick-Ass.
Right. That's right. Awesome.
The Kick-Ass connection has been made.
The Kick-Ass connection.
Yeah. which I'm totally fine with because I enjoyed both of those movies.
Yeah, although I did kind of miss Evan Peters in the second one.
Okay.
So I also wanted to ask you this, Widge. You guys are back there talking about your time that you have to watch shows. Did you continue watching Breaking Bad or not? Did you just drop off?
I have not gotten back to it, no. Okay. I will at some point, but... Yeah, okay. Whoa, what the hell was that?
I know what it was.
I think I knew where that came from.
Me too.
Okay, well that explains it. I don't know. I do we? And we don't know anything about where. Hi, Rob.
Hello.
We don't know anything about where they're coming into the story, right? If they're, I mean, they're being probably introduced, and then we don't know, are they good? Are they bad? We don't know anything, right?
Right. Okay. I'm assuming they're going to be with the Avengers, but yeah, that is kind of a.
Well, it could be. It like with most hero stories, they could not and then be, you know? So.
Yeah.
Right. They have to start off fighting each other, and then they come to an agreement and they decide to work towards that common goal.
I will say this. That is one of the things that I enjoyed. Well, one of several things I enjoyed about the Avengers since I watched it again this week is the fact that they worked that in and made it make sense. The fact that you get Iron Man and Thor fighting and have it make sense, and have Captain America come in and fight and it makes sense.
Yes.
I love it when just shit makes sense. Call me crazy. So,
crazy. You know, the pictures you just put up in the chat of that I had not seen that picture of Quicksilver. I kind of hope he looks better on film than he does in just a sneak photo.
Well, now bear in mind, the thing for everyone to remember, including our dear listeners, is that when the Wolverine X-Men suit first appeared, because I'm fairly certain we premiered that on Corona, there's no lighting, there's no effects, there's no nothing. In fact, that was like a stunt double in a costume room.
Well, so, even looking at the original Avengers set photos that came out, I was always like, I don't know if it's going to look any good, but then, of course, in the end, it did.
That's part of the other thing.
I still didn't like new suit for Captain America.
What, in the Avengers?
Yeah.
I was fine with everything but the cowl, but honestly, I had...
It was too bright a blue. It just, I don't know.
How many times did he put the cowl on, though? Like, once? Twice?
Like twice with the fight in Stuttgart, and then when he went to New York. That's about it.
The cowl almost doesn't make sense for Captain America, you know, because he's not trying to protect his... Unless it's bulletproof, it's not really...
Well, I think part of it, too, is that... it was designed by a fanboy, Coulson, so...
This is true.
You know, you can't trust fanboys.
Speaking of Coulson...
Yeah?
I sent you guys an email earlier this week. My theory of who the clairvoyant is in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay. Yeah. And, share it with the full class.
All right. So, I was rewatching. Well, I was watching for the first time with the kids, but rewatching it myself. I believe it's called Magical. No, it's not the Magical Place. Yeah, it's
Tahiti.
Magical Place. No, it's Magical Place.
It's a Magical Place.
Yeah,
that
the
episode?
one with the brain surgery. And something that the chick in the flower. Do we ever? Do we know her name? We do know her name, but
who?
The chick in the flower, dress.
I'll find out. Keep going.
Anyway, they've said her actual name, but I didn't know if she had a code name or something like that, other than the girl in the flower dress. She said, you know, the clairvoyant can see into all organizations, and so my thought at that time now was, and especially knowing that you know Captain America, Winter Soldier, we're supposed to. Learn a little bit more about what apparently, even according to the documentary, what happens in Winter Soldier kind of changes, sets up everything for the Avengers 2, Age of Ultron. So my thought process here, and if you watch the trailers for Winter Soldier, you see a lot of stuff where they're saying, well, you know, we're going to stop crime before it happens. We're going to get and you know, Captain America's like, well, that's not American, yada, yada, yada. So what I'm thinking is they built Ultron, obviously we know that Ultron has to be built. And that is actually who the clairvoyant is.
And we have no Pym to build him
right.
So far in the cinematic universe.
So I'm thinking it's sort of like an NSA type, you know, gathering all sorts of data that eventually becomes, you know, sentient.
Skynet.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's what I was thinking. That's why I'm thinking who the clairvoyant is. The clairvoyant is actually Ultron or the
Proto-Ultron.
The system that creates, that becomes Ultron in the coming Avengers. Because they have said multiple times that and obviously it's already worked out that the S.H.I.E.L.D. television series does inform or is informed by and does inform other the movies.
Yep.
So that's where I'm going with this. I'm thinking that that who's who the clairvoyant is, not Loki. Because I remember that last week, I think last time we were talking about it, the thought was that it was Loki, which is still a very valid, thing. Could be actually it could be anybody.
I think
at this
it's
point,
too direct.
But I'm just thinking that it, because knowing what's coming up, I just think that Ultron is probably
and I sort of ran with that just a little bit to suggest that you so if you're a supercomputer that can see everything, you can't see everything. But if you had enough power, you could successfully predict what people were going to do, because people normally don't act completely irrationally. They will work, they will move according to patterns and act according to patterns. And if you had enough data, you could predict what people were going to do with a relative degree of accuracy.
Right. It's sort of the computer on that other show that's on CBS.
First Interest?
Yes, thank you. Yeah.
Okay. But my whole thing was the reason he wants to know what went on with Coulson is because it completely defies logic for someone to come back from the dead. Therefore, he couldn't predict it. Therefore, he wants to know what the hell happened because it's going to be sort of hard to wipe out humanity if they can just spring back up again. And being a computer with not a lot of data other than what he's fed, he's like, okay, this is obviously something that I don't know what the shot is, therefore I need to figure it out. So, but again, that fits in with your theory.
Yeah, it actually does.
I like the theory.
Rob fell off. Shoot. What happened to Rob? Okay. Yeah, well, I like it too, obviously, since I was thinking of it. But
no, that's a good one. My only thing would be now, of course, everyone's caught Stitwell from the series in, well, didn't he appear in one of the one-shots first?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, but so he is in the trailer. So far, that is the only tie-in of somebody apart from people who obviously appeared, like Nick Fury, but who appeared in the series a lot, showing up in the films. I would love to see something from the series in the film, more than just a if you didn't blink, you would have caught such and so. You know, I would love to see something tying it in, and I'll be fascinated to see if there is some sort of clairvoyant reveal as a result of the film. You know what I mean? If it's revealed in the film, and thus you come out of it into the series with it known, or maybe the whole point is it's not known in the series, and then you have the dramatic irony of we know but they don't know. I don't know.
You don't know what you don't know.
That has been my problem for my entire goddamn life, John.
We lost serve now. Apparently people are dropping like flies.
Oh no.
As if flies actually drop a lot.
That's a great song. All right. Well, that basically talked about Blockbuster. I have not. What have I not seen later? I've not seen the latest, but I did. I'm caught up on The Walking Dead.
I haven't watched the latest. I started to watch the latest episode just before this.
Saw the one before.
Oh my God! Yes.
Wow, I did not know they were going to do that. JJ, are you watching it all, or you? I can't remember who watched what.
It's okay. I tend to tune out when you guys talk about it because I tend to watch it after the season's over.
All right. Well,
I don't mind. I don't mind spoilers. I know that a major character died.
No, not a major character.
Major, but
major event.
Surprising characters died.
Okay.
John, that's almost something a lot like that was in the comics. And I didn't even think they were going to go there because we were so removed from, even with the other shit that was happening, I still did not, I was very blindsided by that.
first of all, you're going a little robo on me, so I don't know what we want to do about that. If there's anything we can do about it. Rox, are you still there?
I'm there, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. I just don't watch that show.
Oh, okay. Well, Widge, let me ask you, what did you think of Tyrese's reaction to the stuff that was revealed there?
I thought it made sense. Am I sounding any better?
A little, but you're still, we can understand you. It's okay. It'll just go away. It's all Skype.
Right. All right. I thought it was, I thought it was handled well. I thought, especially given what had happened,
mm-hmm.
that it made a lot more sense. Like if she had tried that before what happened.
Yeah.
But I mean, he sort of, first of all, he didn't really have, I half expected him to say, when we get to Terminus and we give Judith to some people, then I might kill you. Because otherwise he would be just be him and a baby, which is like a death sentence for himself.
That's true. Though I watched the last shots from that episode, and I did not see the baby anywhere. That really disturbed me.
I didn't see
him carrying it or anything, unless it was zipped up in the bag.
He had some sort of papoose on the back.
Yeah, but that was all sealed. Okay.
No. It was sort of open at the top.
All right. I'll take your word for it. They're suffocating.
It's okay to put a baby in a plastic bag as long as you poke some holes in it.
and in as this long world, as you understand it's not a toy.
And in this world, it will be back. So.
Ow. but, yeah. So I thought it was a good episode.
That was a fantastic episode.
I'm extremely amused by all of these people who I see them on Facebook and on the web and stuff going, okay, I thought it was funny the fact that all the lawns were really well manicured after the apocalypse. I thought that too.
Yes.
But I'm like, oh, true.
Oh, that's funny.
Somebody was talking about, well, I haven't seen any flies in season one. Where are all the flies? I'm like, look, if you're not enjoying the series enough to overlook some shit like that, then, I mean, granted, yes, there would be more flies. If you want to get really, really down and dirty about it, there probably wouldn't be enough food to sustain these people to this point. So the series would have lasted maybe a season. Shut up. Stop watching it if you're not enjoying it. There's other things to do with your life. It's not going to be, you don't want it to be 100% realistic. It would be unwatchable. It would be, you can do things in like fiction that, like, for example, you can't, Wait a minute.
How is it I can't, where do you get the stupid conversation texting thing?
While you're thinking out, let me try to come back in. Hang on. All right, is that any better?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Hey, do you see this? I just texted something. Hey.
Yes.
All right, other people are already, I'm getting messages. Oh, there it is. There, I guess. 420. Okay.
No, you haven't been on yet when she starts reading back from like 8 months ago. Messages. Well, I don't understand. It's not Christmas.
It's not Christmas.
Anyway, like, for example, there are...
It's not Easter.
It's not damn yet. Close.
Not yet, anyway. First of all,
speaking
it's like...
Speaking of zombies, but go on.
Yeah. First of all, it's like... Oh, nice. Jesus don't want me for a lunchbox. It's like, well, we could take the time to make all the yards look well or add the CG flies or throw a bunch of flies in it, but that would be our entire fucking budget. Sorry, we're too busy trying to do a character drama. I'm like, these are people who don't understand the show is not about the zombies. It's about the characters. They're not even getting that. When we've had this entire second half of the season focusing on characters, like, stop watching.
And right, the only reason why I watch is because it's a character drama. I don't dig zombies. I don't like horror particularly very much. So I would just not be paying attention. But the fact that the characters are so compelling.
Yes.
That's what I watch.
And that's go ahead, JJ.
No, I hear people. So, you know, any show that is genre related, people always like to argue about the spot where it started to suck. And that's sort of the general consensus is on The Walking Dead that, you know, it started to suck after the first season, which I don't agree with that.
Wow.
But
no, totally wrong.
But I think it was the penultimate episode of the last season that was the one that had one of the most absolutely intense scenes I'd ever seen, which was the one that was the chase between Andrea and the governor. That was incredibly tense television. There was really no zombies in that, except for every once in a while you'd open the door and you'd have to shut it quickly. But the tension was between the two characters.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
One was psychotic.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I thought it went on for like way too long, and it was pretty obvious that I think Tuffley said that, what was it? That was the season where they needed two more episodes. They basically were told make two more episodes, and so they had to sort of make two more episodes out of nothing.
I liked it a lot.
Oh, no, I'm glad. That's the thing. I actually like it when people like things that I don't like, because I'm like, why would I want you to watch something that I thought was bad? I'm glad you liked it.
Well, I think that actually the pacing of Walking Dead is helped by the fact, like I said, that I watch it. I shotgun it. That's part of why I don't watch it while it's on. Right. I don't really give a shit about spoilers because I know that any character in the show is going to die at any given time.
Right.
So I don't really feel like that ruins the experience for me.
Right.
But the thing is that I find that you don't notice like if it's been padded. Well, like the pacing at the whole pacing of the early part of the second season at the farm. Sure, I think if I watched that week after week and it lasted for like 2 months, sure, that would feel like it dragged. But for me, it lasted, you know, an evening.
Yeah, although, and that is very true. Although for me, as I expressed at the time, the reveal of the barn at the end and what that meant character-wise sort of made it worthwhile for me. I mean, that complete watching every single character on the screen change irrevocably in an instant was amazing. I don't know that I've ever seen that before, you know? And but not even just, oh, I knew it was supposed to happen, so I knew it happened. I fucking watched it happen, you know? So that was really, really fucking amazing. But I think as far as the pacing and such goes, it has gotten remarkably better in this season. And the different situations and everything, it has been really, really well executed.
Right. And I think that the fact that they've broken up the group and they can focus just on, you know, a handful of people as opposed to trying to tell the story of like 10 people. They're telling the story of like, you know, two to five people. And it's
that's the thing too, is that we haven't seen a lot of stories about them wandering around, you know, because you've had like, see, at least like wandering around on foot. If they ever had to go anywhere before, there was the RV or they had cars. Then they were at the farm, then they were at the prison. So now you've basically stripped away all of their safety and security. And you've paired them up with characters that they wouldn't normally spend a lot of time with. So you have that dynamic going for you as well. And it's just really been fascinating. And I think the acting has been really good. And I will say, John, tell me what you think about this. The new character of Joe, who is kind of that leader of renegade type of folks. You know what I'm talking about?
Wait, was that again?
That Daryl ran into.
Joe.
Is he not sort of like Kris Kristofferson's like second cousin or something?
I was totally going to say that.
Really?
Yes.
He feels like he's trying to go for that Kris Kristofferson vibe. And the idea of
even the shirt.
Yeah. Even a Kris Kristofferson in a zombie apocalypse, I would watch that all day long. So I'm good.
Yeah, I'm trying to. That actor though has been around forever.
I've seen him in something.
That's what I'm looking up. The actor's Jeff Kober, and let's see. Oh, he's been on Sons of Anarchy, of course. China Beach. Ah, he was Dodger. Oh, he was Dodger on China Beach. And what else is he?
He looks really fucking different without his hair set up. Wow.
Jeff Kober. I gotta find out. I pull up his whole IMDb because he's been in a lot of stuff. He's been sort of like this character actor. You know,
yeah,
been
he's got a
forever.
Fantastic face.
He's been on The X-Files. He's been on MacGyver. V, the series. He was on V, the series.
So he's a professional, that guy.
Highway to Heaven.
By the way, let us have a moment's recognition of one of the great that guys, James Rebhorn.
Oh, yeah.
Who passed this past week. I did not realize he was like 65. He always, because he's looked like that for decades, you know what I mean? He's always been the government or disapproving father guy forever.
Right.
What the hell was he in
The television series.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. No, who was he in V, though? And by the way, can I just say that somebody needs to save Michael Ironside? I don't know where he is, but why isn't that man working? Ham Tyler. Oh, he was like in one episode as an officer. Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, also, let's see, The Commish, Earth 2. Walker, Texas Ranger.
Mm. Well, like you said, China Beach.
Charmed. China Beach is probably his best, is most
Kindred,
recognizable. Yeah.
Kindred, The Embraced.
Yeah, and the reason why I recognize him is from stupid, not stupid, it's awesome show, Sons of Anarchy. And I couldn't remember where I placed him. He's also been on The New Girl, for crying out loud. And Lost! Oh, he was on Lost!
Who was he on Lost?
That's a good question. I think he was not a major character either.
He was a polar bear. Oh, wait, no.
No, he was a smoke monster.
Yeah, he was an uncredited mechanic in an episode.
Is that true, or are you just...
No, that's true. I'm sorry. I know I sound like I'm making shit up all the time, but no, that is exactly true.
So NYPD Blue, Crossing Jordan. I mean, he's basically been on every single Buffy the Vampire Slayer, for crying out loud. He was on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yep. So that's all. No, he's great.
And he played the part of Buffy. Wait, no.
Like I said, he looks totally different with all of his makeup and hair and whatnot. It's fantastic.
So basically his role in life is that guy and future Dragon Con guest.
He probably has been a Dragon Con.
Nobody knew.
Dragon Con, actually.
What's that?
Hell, he's in town now. So, I mean, if he's assuming that he's, you know, around for next season.
That is true. Speaking of zombies, so Claire.
Did you get my message?
No. Which one?
I left you a voicemail message.
Oh, I did not listen to them. I saw you called yesterday, but I was at work.
I left you a message before I watched the episode about something completely different, totally normal. And then I left you another episode when I finished watching. I left you another episode. It was an episode. I had an episode leaving you a voicemail.
Shall we listen to it? Let me see if I can get it.
Yeah, go ahead. See if you can pull it up.
I got it. Hold on.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah. JJ, are you watching The Following?
I am behind. No, I haven't watched anything this season.
He will shotgun it in about 3 months.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Here we go. I think it's a 12-second one.
Yeah, I think that's the one. Whatever the second one is.
I see.
Yep.
I just watched it! And Casablanca's awesome, too!
Screw you. Wow.
You cannot imagine. You cannot imagine. Cosette walked in as I finished the episode, as they started leading him around, and I went from, oh shit, is he about to be is he a bad guy? Is this a bad? Is this?
That's
the
what
bad
I thought too. As he was being.
And
called
I saw
away.
The people with badges, and I went, "Oh my god! Oh my god!" I was standing up on the couch. Cosette walked in. I started howling laughter and like kicked the ottoman across the room in utter glee.
I am now excited.
You have to understand, John. You have to understand. I don't know. That is my sad mutant power. Is that I can walk in, see 30 seconds of an episode, and tell you how it's going to end.
And you said you got my text right when I just said no.
Yeah. But at first, see, you fucked me up because I thought you were going to say that it was the bad guy reveal. I thought you were going, oh no, and then I went, oh ho ho ho. So I have not seen this week's. But
I haven't
seen
this week's either yet.
I have seen up through that one. And The Rocks, are you used to watching The Following, right?
She stepped away.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to shotgun him.
I am totally back on board this show having that happen. I'm so happy.
Anything that makes you this excited, I am now very curious to catch up on the show.
I made a prediction very early on, like after the first episode. And John, the entire no, that's stupid, no. And I was totally right.
Although I do think that the setup not to that reveal, but to Joe basically that whole episode I thought was really fantastic.
No, that was really
interesting.
That was much much better. I'm like, okay, good. I can see where this can now go because I felt like with the whole cult thing, mm-hmm. new cult thing, I was like, oh my God, we're about to go camping. We're going camping. And folks, for our listeners, in case you're not aware, camping is the term that was coined after the final book of Harry Potter, in which 560 pages were about Hermione, Ron, and Harry camping. So anytime you have to put characters into a holding pattern because you don't know what to do with them, that is called camping. Much like George R. R. Martin has been doing with Daenerys in the books. I'm just saying, that's camping.
You're on a roll tonight, Wage.
Is it cinnamon or crescent? Because I would love a cinnamon roll. What? I don't know. So, no, but I'm. Thank you. Tip the veal. So no,
what?
I'm. What?
Exactly.
I'll be here all veal. So no, I'm. Things are gonna start happening now, and now I'm fascinated because I'm like, how many episodes are left in the season? Because
that's a very good point.
They're gonna have to wrap this shit up. Hang on, let me see. Following. Because I think it's the same. I think it's 15 again. I think. Yeah, it's 15 again. So we just had, what was it? Trying to scroll and not spoil.
Seven or?
Nine. So no, okay. 10 aired this week. So now we still got a little ways to go. So anything could happen.
Yeah.
And we still don't know what the fuck's going on with Lily. Although, can I say, I really liked Sam Underwood. I've never seen him before, to my knowledge, but he was great.
Who's that?
Luke and Mark.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always
well. Now just one of them, but yeah.
What? Well, no.
Oh no! Wait, no. You're right.
Easy. But no, I am. But
wait, no. Am I right?
No, you're not right. Unless something happened in the latest episode.
No, I don't know.
Yeah. No, there's still two.
Maybe, not to spoil it.
Yeah, maybe. Well, there could. Maybe there's three. John, you will shit yourself if I'm right by that offhanded remark of saying.
One normal guy.
You will just go, son of a bitch!
Oh. Or she has a twin.
Oh, John. I hope yours is right. I think that would be fantastic. So, Rocks, you're back. So, have you been following?
Yes.
Okay, are you, what was the last episode? Did you see this week's yet? Because we've only seen last week's.
I saw, okay, they got Micah.
Okay, yeah, you're where we are.
Okay, yes.
Yes, yeah, we were just comparing notes on my prediction coming true.
Which is what? What was your prediction?
Oh, the end reveal there.
The end reveal.
Oh, yeah.
I was so, I emailed him immediately when I saw it. Just email. Oh, you didn't get to hear his. You want to hear it again, Widge?
Yes.
Let Rox hear it.
There we go. Here's a voicemail he left for me.
I just watched it! And Casablanca is awesome, too!
Yeah.
Although, can I just say, whether you watch the following or not, you owe it to yourself to go watch the Kevin Bacon intro to the Jimmy Fallon Tonight Show.
Oh, my God, that was so good.
Oh, God, that was great.
Gosh, yeah. Yes.
That was pretty fucking amazing. Now, I'm assuming that they probably got, because Footloose is still on Broadway, right?
Probably.
Sure.
Well,
it's somewhere.
They turned it into a musical like everything else, John.
Oh, my gosh, did you see that they're making Heathers? Into a...
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, no, okay. Was I hallucinating? Is it a musical, or were they doing it as an opera? Because I would fucking love to see Heathers. That would actually get me to go see an opera, okay?
Doesn't your wife normally work at a place where there's operas?
No. They don't do a lot of operas where she works. She has operas, but... See, my problem... See, John...
I have a problem with English language operas.
You know what? I would go see Heather's the opera in Italian. Here's my problem, John.
Yeah.
With opera, okay? I saw an opera once, all right? And and they were singing in Italian for 5 fucking minutes. Even I know that they weren't singing the same thing over and over again. And on the little screen where it showed you the translation, there was one line. I'm like, what are you not telling me? They cannot possibly be singing those 5 words in as many words. If it was German, maybe. But this isn't German. This is Italian. What the fuck are you not telling me? That just bothered me. Now I told you guys my idea for Night of the Living Dead, the opera, right?
Because no.
I think I would... I need to become rich so I can, like, commission this. Basically, it's the story of the original Night of the Living Dead. And...
Sorry, I need a proper introduction.
Oh, thank you. Welcome to Masturbate Theater. basically, you have the outside of the house and the inside of the house. If you're alive, you sing in Italian. If you're dead, you sing in German.
Oh, Jesus.
Because, I mean, think about listening to German. It's a much more kind of, you know...
Federal.
Yeah, guttural, kind of like scary kind of thing. Italian's much lighter and stuff like that. So I think it would be fucking amazing, like singing Italian opera with German like chorus behind you about trying to refuel the truck so you can get to safety. I would fucking love that to exist.
I would also add that if you made all of the people who are alive like sopranos and tenors, and then once you died and started singing in German, that's where you get all your baritones and altos.
Ha! Nice. Now, I will say they've done the Fly the Opera, therefore, my idea is not insane.
No.
Which was kind of crazy looking when... if you haven't, dear listeners, if you have not seen... I posted some a while back, but there is footage of, like, you know, Fly guy crawling upside down on what's supposed to be the ceiling, singing. It's fucking... And Cronenberg, like, directed it. It's fucking insane. So...
Now...
Go ahead, John.
No, go ahead. You finish.
I have no idea what I was going to say. It was a guttural type of... I was a zombie in the yard, and I was trying to sing. Go ahead, John.
I was going to ask you guys if you had seen what the theme for American Horror Story is next.
No!
Yeah!
What?
Tell me.
JJ can tell you.
I posted it to Facebook for you.
I didn't see it.
Tell her, Jake.
They're calling it freaks. It's carnival folk.
Freaks. No way!
She has never been so excited. Like Christmas came early.
And Angela Bassett's coming back. Kathy Bates is coming back.
Wow!
So let me just hang on, Rox.
This needs to happen now.
I know.
Can't wait.
Hang on. Let me just again to prove I was right. This is what I posted to the Neat Coffee Facebook page. How to make Rox do the rock of whatever that noise is Kim and Lee make when talking about S.H.I.E.L.D. That's what you just heard, folks. God, take them on a roll.
I think there'll be hobos, too.
Yay!
Yeah.
American Hobo Story.
Oh.
Ooh.
Go make that now.
Yeah.
Start it. No.
I really hope that American television learns from American Horror Story and True Detective. And this whole idea of anthology television is just fucking awesome.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, it really is.
And here's the thing. It's what the Brits have been doing forever. For series. It's like it's like what it gives America the out of not having to jump the shark with TV shows. It's like, hey, we can do this anthology, blah, blah, blah. We move on.
Right. And
it's America's out on doing that.
And I can't remember the name of it, but it was on about 5 to 7 years ago with David Benzali. And it was they planned it as a one season thing. And then they were going to bring it back with a new extra cast. And I totally forgot what it was. But it was great. It was like a political sort of thing. And that was way ahead of its time because no one was doing that.
Well, and the other thing, too, is like, you know, the rumor was that you were going to have Brad Pitt be in season two of True Detective. And the reaction I heard was, nah, there's no way. I'm like, look.
Why not?
Actors aren't stupid. They're seeing the performance like that both Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey gave, because as good as McConaughey was, I thought Harrelson was really, really fucking good.
Oh my God,
he was in a supporting role, but he was really fucking good. But I mean, you look at Kevin Spacey with House of Cards, you look at the fact that these people will sign on to even ongoing series for, like, you know, to be the big bad or the whatever for a season. It works. So I can totally see Brad Pitt coming in and doing True Detective for HBO, because I mean, if especially if it's like 8 episodes, it's like shooting an extended movie, and then hey, now you're up for an Emmy, which I don't think Brad Pitt hasn't really done television. I mean, that's the thing, is you look at some of these, like you look at, okay, like Jeremy Irons doing the Borgias, you know, it's like, wow, because he's never done it. And like, you know, you like James Spader made the leap to television a while back and has been having a great time. So
Brad Pitt already did an episode of King of the Hill. Why wouldn't he do a season of
JJ? That is the most convincing argument I have heard. So no, I would be happy to see that. And I would, you know, they could either follow up on some stuff from season one or do something completely fucking different.
Yeah.
I am in for whatever. So, but,
we've been here for 5 hours. You want to do introductions now?
Oh, sure. We're doing them early this week. Something must be wrong with us, but we knew that.
We're actually doing them this week.
Rob, what's up?
So before I do that, I was trying to think of that show I was talking about. It's called Murder One.
I loved Murder One.
Yeah, it was on like 1 year, and they planned on it being a one-season show. And the guy went in, I remember he was pissed about it, because he went in and he pitched it to the network as a one-season show. He goes, look, it's going to be one season. We're in and out. We're done. And they green-lighted it at the end of the season. They're like, you got more? And he said, no, it's a one-season show. And then it just sort of all fell apart. But it was great. It was like just a really great sort of burst of like awesome television in a decade, was, or like an early decade to make crap.
And that
was Dolly was great in it.
Yes.
No, Bochco, right?
Yes, it was. Yes.
So I'm curious, when, hang on, before we do that, where is, so Murder One was 95 to 97. Mm-hmm. Ah, I see. So basically, you know what, he did Murder One to sort of make up for Cop Rock.
No one can make up for Cop Rock.
I was going to laugh.
How dare you?
I was going to laugh my ass off if Cop Rock came after Murder One, but I knew that wasn't possible. So,
but then they made the Cop Rock mistake again when they tried it with Hugh Jackman.
What?
Oh, yeah.
That horrible Vegas show was only on for like two
called,
episodes.
It wasn't called Vegas. It was called...
Yeah, it took place in Vegas. I like musicals. I lasted about 5 minutes.
Wow. I've never heard of this. What the hell is this?
Trying to look it up right now.
Here we go. When was it?
Oh, it was like maybe four or 5 years ago.
Really? Was it Punked? Were you watching an episode of Punked and you were confused? He was on Punked.
Actually, I don't know if it was actually his series, but he appeared on it like the
he
first
was
episode.
A producer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Producer. Hold on, I can actually pull up his producer.
And he was on the first episode. He sang the first song.
Viva Laughlin.
Yeah.
Viva Laughlin. Yes.
And I saw him
Viva
coming downstairs
Laughlin.
Sing some shitty pop song. And
IMDb has it a 3.3 rating. That's too much.
Oh, my God.
There's a fairly substantial... what do you call it?
I have never
cast
heard
on there, but
I'm saying that I have never heard of this. That's insane. And now, were they singing new songs, or was it like they were singing pop songs like Baz Luhrmann style?
It was more. It was pop songs. I can't remember what Hugh Jackman was singing, but it was.
Basically, it's like an adult Glee with like mystery.
Yeah.
But probably less annoying.
I don't know. Like I said, I made it about 5 minutes.
That's about how long I lasted with Glee. But really, they hadn't sung a word. It was all the dialogue, and it made me want to punch a bunny in the face.
Here we go.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Nicky Fontana.
I hate Nicky Fontana.
You won't feel guilty about hurting him.
So, how is giving him a slice of my cassette of yours lurks the mind of a...
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year. So many a man.
All right, you get the idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
canceled. Canceled after the sex. Wow.
It let the whole episode air. Not canceled soon enough.
You have to see it. I mean, basically, Hugh Jackman just came off this helicopter, and now he's walking through the entire casino, hitting all the girls, climbing up on tables, singing. It's Glee. It's Glee in a casino.
I love this.
I remember him riding down an escalator, and I just was like, "This, yeah no."
Okay, guys,
that
this
was
is
it.
Amazing. This is amazing. So here are the following broadcasters purchased a series. Australia, cancelled after the first episode. Canada, cancelled after the second episode. United Kingdom, unknown. U.S., cancelled after the second episode. And they actually have...
Uh-oh, someone lost a ball.
Fell off.
Here we go.
Jesus.
Wow. And this was in 2007. Now, here's the thing.
Stop doing that.
Hang on. Here's the thing.
I
would totally accept that, the insanity of that, if it was like the mid-90s, okay? Or even if it was, because when did Glee start?
God, that was only 7 years ago.
I know.
Oddly.
2007.
But if you look at the IMDb page for it, it says 2007 2 and has a, it doesn't have another number after it.
Cause
as though
thing.
It will come back sometime.
Here's what I did not know. I did not know this. Is that premiering 1 month after Rock was a musical teen drama series called Hull High.
Yes, I actually remember that.
And it lasted 8 episodes.
See, why would you have a show aimed at, like, you know, high school, where the name could easily be called
Hell High
or How High? I mean, it's just too easy to make fun.
Or Horror High.
The problem is the 6th episode was going to be the reveal that it was Hell High and they were all in hell. And that would have been somebody else we lost this week. The lead singer of Gwar was going to appear. And
oh, man.
An entire Gwar episode. You know what? Okay, listen to me, Glee, you fuckers. You need a Gwar episode of Glee.
Yes.
Just a heavy metal / industrial metal episode. I would pay to see that.
Like that dude who they can approach that dude on YouTube that does hard rock versions of pop songs.
Yeah,
he does the one I went through a rabbit hole watching his shit yesterday. He does like a heavy metal. It's like heavy metal meets Frozen.
Hold on.
He plays sort of speed metal, speed Euro metal style.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I just can't think of his name.
Yeah. He's got long black hair. He looks like a friend of mine.
Did any of you guys see Gwar?
I've seen him. Yeah.
I've seen him twice.
Did you see him when they played Dragon Con?
Yes.
That was hilarious.
Gwar played Dragon Con? Oh.
Yeah, back in the 90s, man.
Shit, back in the years where I go, we just get fucking... what was it, Jefferson Starship?
Oh, did you go to the... I walked in and walked right out. I saw them when they opened up for Night Train.
Ooh.
Back in the 80s. Yeah. But, you know, I saw them with Grace Slick, so that was good.
Well, when they played Dragon Con, though, it was like no Grace Smith, or no Slick. and no Mickey Thomas either, right?
Yeah, it's just one of them.
Yeah, so.
All right, I think I found it. Let's hear this. Yeah. Oops.
There's God, you're killing me.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, so he can do the episode of Glee. They can put him in charge of the Hard Rock episode of Glee.
He has 144 videos.
And I will say that you know you're cool when, you know, Holliston, the series, he played as Odor Sarungus from Gwar. He played as himself, the imaginary friend of the lead character of Holliston.
Awesome.
Who would come out of the closet, if I remember correctly. I didn't watch too much of it because the series itself wasn't great, but he was amazing. That he would come out and just have a heart-to-heart talk in the full Gwar gear with the guy. It was awesome.
Why isn't there a Gwar Lego set?
Oh, yay.
And the other thing about Holliston is that Dee Snider played their boss.
Awesome.
It was not as awesome as it sounds, but it was worth checking out an episode of just so you could see that such a thing existed.
But now that we've lost two members of Gwar, I mean, we basically live in a post-Gwar world now, I think. And that's kind of sad. There's no Beastie Boys, there's no Gwar.
No.
I know.
And we lost Bob too, right? From Devo?
Oh, yeah.
We got Ashton from The Stooges.
Yeah.
Now what you could do is you could get the surviving members of Beastie Boys and the surviving members of Gwar, and they could do an audio slave type thing, and that would be fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It would be insane, and I would need therapy, but I'm willing to take that for the team.
That'd be all right.
Did you ever listen to a band called Subset?
No.
No?
Subset was when, so for a little while, the members of the Presidents of the United States of America, they couldn't play as the presidents anymore because their contract was too solid. And Sir Mix-a-Lot got tired of the record company telling him, to make Baby Got a Butt or Baby Got Legs. So they formed a band called Subset, and their album was never released, but you can find the tracks out there. It's kind of fun. It sounds exactly like the Presidents and Sir Mix-a-Lot. So I would be okay with like Gore and the Beastie Boys doing something like that. Why the hell not?
I think we need more insane supergroups.
I know. Yeah.
So
yeah, but then you wind up with the damn Yankees.
Just for you, Witch, I'm gonna write the people at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a generic form letter asking if Gore could be considered for nomination and see what I get back in the mail.
Well, they were 25 years, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
They're eligible.
Yeah.
But the thing, until things change, I mean, if we just are getting Kiss in right now, things have got to change a little
bit.
Oh,
my God. You know, they won't put the Monkees in.
No.
Ever.
But you see, Rox, did you see the Monkees are touring with Nesmith?
Yeah.
Now, what's his name? How is that? Was he like the crux of why Nesmith didn't want to deal with him?
Yes.
No yes. way, really.
Yeah. I'll tell you offline my Davy Jones story later.
Okay.
Wow.
Right. I know that Davy and Peter didn't always get along.
No. They all took turns not getting along with Davy.
Yeah. See, like, for example, like the super group Super Heavy, right? They had a couple of good songs on the album, but the fact that you had Dave Stewart from the Eurythmics, Damian Marley, okay, Joss Stone, Bollywood superstar A.R. Rahman, and Mick Jagger doing an album together, it's like worth listening to just because it exists. We need more of that.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Oh yeah, it's a couple good songs on it.
I remember.
Well, I mean, I will even admit I like Traveling Wilburys.
Oh yeah,
their record was great.
Traveling Wilburys.
Yeah.
They were hobos.
Yes. Yeah.
Wilburys was great. Especially where was it that I did not realize that was basically the project started as a B-side for one of George Harrison's singles.
Yeah.
And he just brought them in because they're all friends. And then they listened to it and went, fuck this B-side nonsense. Could you do an album?
Right.
And that's when Jeff Lynne stopped being a sort of a Beatles wannabe producer and became a Beatles producer. So
I like Jeff Lynne.
I like Jeff Lynne.
I like Jeff Lynne too, but I've just always thought it was kind of funny that if you listen to, especially the early ELO stuff, you know, listen to something like Mr. Blue Sky and you're like, yeah, I can see how this is, you know. This is kind of like what the Beatles might have been if they lived into electronic music.
Really? I never thought of them that way. And yeah. I'm a big ELO fan.
Yeah,
I
love all of it. But I can see where, I don't know, I never got the idea that ELO wanted to be the Beatles. I got the idea that they were like, okay, here's some shoulders of giants that we can go catapult off of. Let's do it, you know?
Yeah, I kind of think of them personally as like the next generation of that sound.
Really?
Yeah. You know, personal opinion.
I'm only saying that because they didn't have that. It's like, okay, there's the violin player. Other than Jeff Lynne and maybe Bev Bevan, there's only so many I can remember out of, you know, the members. Whereas right. the Beatles, you knew all, you know, who they were. I mean, they were a personality in and itself, where ELO was more of a, you know, it's like those girl bands now, like yeah. the ones that add classical music and stuff. They can swap them out, you know, when they go on tour, because this is, right. something created by a producer, and you can swap out any musician from one tour to another.
Right, and I admit, I was talking specifically of sound, because I don't really remember ELO as a band.
The other thing to remember, Rox, is that they're picking up from the Beatles, and when the Beatles left off, the Beatles had pretty much decided, like Sgt. Pepper was their way of going, how can we ensure we never take this album on tour? You know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I can see where you could have this huge fucking, you know, well, let's get the string people and the this people and that people, and let's try to do that. Because Sgt. Pepper was never intended to be played live, ever.
Okay.
Now, does anyone know what became of this project? It was supposed to be Jeff Lynne, Dave Grohl, and Wayne Coyne from the Lips.
Ooh. Oh, I don't know.
I know they were working on something. I just have no idea if it's coming out.
Hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I hadn't heard
Burton talk. Brian Burton was involved in it, and I haven't heard anything about it in like a year. So.
Well, I will say I was just doing some quick Googling, Rob. Last month, you did have Dave Grohl and Jeff Lynne cover "Hey Bulldog" on that Beatles.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Special event.
Yeah. Oh, you saw that, John? Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not like Dave Grohl and Wayne Coyne won't like work with someone at the drop of a hat.
No.
Oh, I know. I'll bet anything. Like you could like walk up to his house and say, "Hey, I have this washboard and some thimbles," and he'd go, "Oh, okay, well, cool."
Actually, Rox, you know he's Molly Cyrus is on the new Lips record.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah. At this point, it's kind of surprising that, now his name just flies out of my head.
That's okay.
The lead singer from Faith No More and Tomahawk.
Oh, Mike Patton.
Yeah, at this point, it's surprising that Mike Patton and the Lips haven't worked together because they sort of are always doing something.
Yeah.
That's what we need. We need Mike Patton. We need the Flaming Lips. We need Les Claypool because he never fucking sleeps either.
Yeah. And Alex Patterson from the Orb.
Ooh, yeah.
Josh from them Crooked Vultures.
Oh, Josh Homme, yeah.
Yeah. Just all you overachieving sons of bitches, we're going to lock you in a studio and you get to come up with a fucking album and then just, you know. And then, you know, we'll give you all the food and whiskey you need. Then come out in a week and we'll listen to what you got.
And because I love him and Cheap Trick have done him wrong, we're going to put Bunny Carlos in there. Just
yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I think we need Tom Waits and Les Claypool to basically come up with the seedier, kind of more rum-soaked version of the Traveling Wilburys.
Hmm.
Yeah, that needs to be like a Tom Waits Flaming Lips record too, or Tom Waits and the Bad Seed. That's what I want.
Ooh, ooh! Oh my gosh! Can you see? I could see a duet between him and Nick Cave.
Well, actually, the duet with Shane McGowan and Nick Cave is great, which means one with Tom Waits would be just as epic.
Yes, I think so.
Have you heard that, Rox?
No.
It's Nick Cave and Shane McGowan covering What a Wonderful World.
Oh, that's as good as the Freaks thing for American Horror.
Yeah, I know. So
it's going to take a lot to replace the Joey Ramone version in my heart, though. I love that version so much.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah.
There's a lot of good versions of that.
Yeah. Hey, on that note, I'm Rox's Spaz House, and I'm out of here. I have a breakfast meeting tomorrow.
She's got.
Yeah, I do too.
She's got to go.
Send me the dates you're thinking about too, because. Well, just when you get them, let me know.
Okay.
So
there's just so everybody knows, there's a traveling Sherlock Holmes exhibit that I guess it got sanctioned by the Doyle Estate, right, Rob?
Yes.
Yes. So it's in Columbus now. Yeah. And then it goes to St. Louis and then elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mentioned to Janet you might be coming.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. She's probably, oh, dear God, we'll never sleep.
No. She's like, is the city being put on lockdown?
Hey, that's my line.
All I can say is tell Janet to just film as much of it as she can.
Oh no, she'll have fun. She'll just sit with Brittany and then I said, Janet, you could make a documentary. She goes, yes, I could.
your wife is one of the most well-adjusted people I've ever met.
I know, you know what she is, because when I said, hey, we're gonna go to a hobo camp, she went, okay, where is it?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And it was great because I came back from Welcome to Night Vale, and I kept talking to her. She goes, okay, all right, okay, done yet? She knows when I have my... No, she knows. She knows when, you know, when I turn off, and then we're good. So.
Yeah, she does it with a trank gun.
Yeah, I think we're going down for the. I think we're going for the Atlanta Comic Con, but I don't know yet.
Oh, are you?
Maybe. Yeah, it depends on who the panels.
Oh, okay. All right.
But yeah.
All right. But well, maybe. I'm scooting because I have a breakfast meeting. Bye. Bye, kids.
Bye, Rocks.
Be safe out there, and write to your Congress people. Just because.
What am I supposed to write?
All right, kids. I got a boogie too because I got to call my mom back.
Okay, and everyone, call Rob. Write to your congressman, folks, and call Rob's mom.
Actually, call. No, please don't. I have a hard time because my mom actually has listened to the podcast before.
Oh Jesus! No. Okay, so
you're responsible for nothing.
That's true.
Well, the two things that come to mind is, yes, they seem like they would be your friends. And the second one is that she thought John sounded the most professional and level-headed of everybody. She's like, the one guy who runs the podcast. I go, which? She goes, no, the one guy that talks normal.
Which runs the podcast?
As much as any of this can be run.
She wasn't really listening.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of funny.
Shit.
Yeah. All right. Sorry.
Which is the puppet ruler? By that, I don't.
And my only recommendation is 30 years ago this week was the detention from Breakfast Club. Watch it again.
Whoa! See, that came up earlier.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, I wasn't here.
No, you weren't here, and it's come up twice. Yeah. Apparently, you have to watch Breakfast Club now.
Okay.
JJ doesn't like. Does JJ
I've seen
like
it. I don't care for it.
It's okay. It's not his best, but it's fun.
Yeah, so. Rob, you haven't seen Uncle Buck either, so we got to work on him. He's the new guy.
Well, that's okay. He's bigger than me, so I'm going to be nice to him because he can pull him
up. So. Hey, I'm nice to him because he's not only nice and bearded like me, which shows that he has excellent taste, but he brings donuts, which means I love him to bits.
Yeah, there you go. All right, kids.
I'll see donut. I don't care.
Bye, Rob. Yeah. So a Krispy Kreme opened up like around the corner.
Oh, that's horrible for you.
Yeah. No, the horrible part is that they have their special donuts now, which I didn't know about. And one of them's a caramel coffee cream donut.
Oh boy.
And it's really fucking good. Now the mocha cream donut, not so good, but the coffee caramel cream, that shit is good. I recommend it. That's one of my recommendations. That and don't eat it. Eat it, but then don't eat it ever again because I'm sure I lost, I don't know how many brain cells and sure my liver died a little bit more than normal and it's not good. It's not good.
You only live once.
So introductions?
Delicious. Oh yeah, sure. Let's do introductions.
Yeah, it's
really
gone.
Short.
It'll be.
Oh, wait. Oh, you're talking about that one.
It can still be thick, John.
It's not about the length or the girth. It's about short. It's about mine.
It's about averaging 3 hours?
It's about...
What are you, Sting? What the fuck? Oh, my God. Okay, fine. We'll do introductions. And we'll do them. We will, because that's you know, it's tradition, and that's what keeps us from falling
tradition.
Off.
Tradition!
Oh, God. All right, we'll do it starting now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
welcome to another edition of Weekend Justice. It's a Weekend Justice podcast here on needcoffee.com. The number one audio internet train wreck, except no substitutes. We're here in the shack of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, who have sort of come in and out. It's kind of been like an episode of Seinfeld, but better hair.
And less racism.
Which for us is saying something. Going from my right to your left, we have JJ is with us. Hello, JJ.
If I were a rich man, deedle.
This is a musical episode of Weekend Justice. Now you have to come down an escalator singing. We also have John from the Neat Geek. You're dealing with a fucking international cult of weirdos. It's so sad that I'm so much funnier when completely out of context.
Where's that at? There we go.
Out of context theater is your friend. Jesus Christ. Oh my God. So, what was I going to say? Oh, so speaking of which, you guys saw that, new trailers and shit. You guys saw the new Godzilla trailer, right?
I did not, but I will watch it while you guys talk about it.
It is
unmute.
Fucking amazing.
Well, to say something that I know that you don't agree with, because I, back when I was a mere listener of Weekend Justice, I know that you were a big fan of the movie Monsters.
Of the movie Monsters or the movie Monsters?
Well, the movie that was entitled Monsters.
Well, here's let me explain that. It's not like I would say I would go back and like watch it again like right now and be like, yay. What impressed me about the movie Monsters is that it was shot by two guys and like two actors running around in a van doing the entire thing guerrilla style for no money. And then the guy came back and did all of the effects himself for no money. And the effects were better than a lot of Hollywood films I've seen, with like maybe two scenes that I thought the CG blending, i.e. the ability to not tell where the CG ends and the real life begins.
Right.
There's only two small instances I can think of where I went, yeah, I can kind of see the seam there. But considering how he did it, I was a fan of that. Because, the story itself and stuff, I mean, it was interesting, but I'm just a fucking huge fan of, he is basically doing without any support the sort of thing that I wish Hollywood would do, which is take your $120 million budget that you were going to spend on Pirates 7 and give $10 million to 12 really interesting, like give $10 million to the folks who did that zombie short Cargo out of Australia. Mm-hmm. You guys seen that?
No.
It's like 7 minutes long. Go fucking watch it. It is amazing. I got done watching that and it fucking destroyed me. I mean, and I'm like, you know, when you do the World War Z series, get them and fuck these people over here. You know, so it's like, find the people like that are doing the interesting shit and say, listen, here's $5-10 million. Go do something with it. That's why what thrilled me about Monsters was that ethos, JJ, I guess. And then and I'm thrilled to see, give a guy who's, again, it's like Captain America. You're used to being weak. So now that you have strength, you know not to abuse it. You drove through jungles doing a feature length film with no money and improvising the entire fucking thing. What are you going to do when you're handed Gojira? You know, it's like, here you go. Here's Godzilla. Here's a big budget kaiju film. That's why it looks extremely exciting to me, is because to me, Monsters was more like a business card. You know what I mean? Kind of like I'm like, it's like I said, I would recommend people go see it simply because I want them to see what's possible. But, you know, the ending and the whatever else, I was like, yeah, well, it's all right. But I was so fucking thrilled with what I was seeing on the screen and just going, the guy fucking did this. Like, it's like Sky. It's like you look at this and you go, what would Sky Captain look like now? You know, because right. Sky Captain was basically him. You know, so anyway, but to that said, go on with what you were going to say.
Okay. Well, I thought that I agree with you in the I liked the concept of monsters better than some of the execution. I wasn't a big fan of the characters in it. And in the case of a monster film, if you don't like the characters, then, you know, you're in for a long ride. And so I was not all that excited when I first heard about it until then I heard that, of course, Bryan Cranston was involved.
Right.
And Bryan Cranston can elevate anything right now. He's really amazingly on top of his game. And after seeing this preview, I am legitimately excited. I went from thinking that looks like a movie I kind of want to, you know, just it's Godzilla. I was going to go anyway. But to now it's one that I am really looking forward to seeing.
Well, and I also really like the fact that they're tying back to and acknowledging that there is a past of Godzilla with that whole thing. And again, no spoiler because it's revealed in the trailer. Ken, I'm going to fuck up his last name because I can't say anyone's name, Japanese or otherwise, but Watanabe?
Ken Watanabe, yeah.
Watanabe, thank you. See, I never can put... I have a brain problem where I can't put the emphasis on the right syllable. So, but basically, his whole thing about, yeah, all those nuclear tests in the 50s, yeah, we weren't testing. We were trying to kill this fucking thing. I'm just like, holy shit. Because I'm like, that is a great blend with history, because the whole time, you know, you talk about, well, how many tests do you need to do to A, prove they work, and B, prove to the enemy you can blow shit up. But you keep blowing stuff up in the Pacific. How weird is that? And then to hear, oh yeah, we were trying to kill a giant fucking lizard. I'm like, oh, that's yeah. So smart. So, yeah. So yeah, but yeah, but you see where I'm coming from, where it's like, if you give that guy who was able to do that with like two actors and no script and no budget and whatever else, who knows what he's doing, this, to me, I'm so fucking excited. And, you know, there were sequences in that were in Monsters that was gorgeous. So like the sequence of the halo jump with the red flares coming down over the ruined city that just are fucking stunning to me, you know? I'm just like, yeah. Ow.
Well, that seems to kind of be a trend in films right now. I mean, it's the beginning of a trend because you've got that sequence in that trailer, and then you've got that really badass sequence in the beginning of a couple of the Amazing Spider-Man trailers of Spider-Man falling.
Mm.
And you can like hear the flapping of his suit, and it's just this beautiful sequence. It's like, oh, so now the popular shot now is the falling heroes.
Well, look at it this way, JJ. That's going to look amazing on IMAX in 3D. So yes, that's why they're getting shot. That's the shot. That's why the shot's there.
It's the quote unquote money shot.
But yeah, which I'm completely fine with, because I enjoy those shots, and I enjoyed the swinging sequences in the first Amazing Spider-Man. I know I like the film better than most, but I'm crazy like that.
I like the entire
the second one, but.
Do what?
I'm scared shitless about the second one.
It's funny. I'm not. I probably should be, but I really think that I think what it's going to be is there's going to be a lot of subplot that's left ignored, and I have a feeling it's going to be an Electro movie with a lot of shit in the background.
That's possible. And again, the one thing they're smart in doing these days is in crafting trailers where you think you know and you don't.
Right. I mean,
my favorite example of that we talked about was like Star Trek Into Darkness, where you think you know who is piloting the giant black ship and you don't. You know, the way they cut it together, you go, oh, and it's like, no, that's completely, completely unrelated shots. So I appreciate that. I really want to like the second one because I so like Andrew Garfield. He is so good.
Yeah, and, you know, the first one, you know, I rewatched it with my girlfriend after having seen it myself in the theater, and it does have a couple of logic problems here and there, but with the exception of the origin, I still thought it was a really nice portrayal of Spider-Man. I don't know that I particularly buy that anyone would willingly walk into a room full of spiders and just hang out, though.
Yeah.
Because the actual origin of a character should never be, ew, get it off, get it off, get it off.
Unless it's a porn.
Wow. Yeah. That's the other Spider-Man movie. I think the other thing is that having been so disappointed.
Its webs were sticky too. What?
What? So it's amazing and spectacular. And
I'll do it all different.
And now it's superior. But I was having been so disappointed with the Sam Raimi Spider-Man films. So disappointed.
Even the first one?
Yes, incredibly disappointed.
Hmm.
because number one, two reasons off the top of my head. Number one, I'm the Green Goblin and I talk in my villain voice.
Well, yeah, there is that.
Yeah. It's like, it would be one thing if it was like, look, why didn't you use the Alex Ross design that was awesome and make his voice be a little computerized if you wanted to do that? But then again, Willem Dafoe got a paycheck, so that's fine. And the second thing is, they took one of the most amazing moments. There's like some really great moments in Spider-Man history, right? Some great, like, you know, the thing with Gwen and the whole I'm trapped under this wreckage and now I have to spend an entire issue working up the balls to be able to lift it up off of me so I can go save the day. That's,
oh, yeah.
But the whole Green Goblin impaled on his own glider, that is a huge moment. And they built up this entire thing. They had the entire fight, and then he got impaled, and you cut to his face, and he went, oh. And they deflated the entire thing with comedy. I'm like, you do not fucking know. You don't know your audience. You don't trust your audience. You thought you don't know where that goes. That beat doesn't go there. You know? If you want to know where the beat goes, look at Coulson's, you know, quote-unquote death in Avengers. That's how you do those beats. But to do it the second after the huge dramatic moment with the climax of your fucking film, I'm like, really? Seriously? Fuck you. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I got to tell you, the Coulson death still is pretty freaking awesome. Even after seeing it like
eight times now. I have watched that film an unhealthy amount of times. It is my go-to film for I'm not feeling great. I want to get perked up. That film does it for me.
I watched it twice on the Disney cruise I was on. The cruise.
It's a great fucking...
In the theater there.
That's it. Of course. Why not? You're like, I have unlimited food. I have unlimited drink. You know what? I need the fucking Avengers. That makes total sense to me.
Oh, yeah.
But, and of course it's there because it's Disney.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was there.
Yep. Now the whole
they owned it by then. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is why I did not like the Spider-Man films. And that wasn't my Spider-Man. My Spider-Man banters. Because to me, what's awesome about Spider-Man is he is the most, I think, apart from going and making a deal with Satan when you know gods and all that other stuff that we've been over. He is very realistic among comic book characters in that if you had, let's assume you had decided that you were going to go put on spandex and fight crime, or at least have the good sense to get the Cirque du Soleil people to design you a costume so you didn't have to do spandex. Which, by the way, I was fine with the new movie's costume. I was fine with it because I know that you can't, it's very, very hard to get it to look right from the comics and, you know, like, you know, even in Man of Steel, it's like, I understand if you had put the underwear on the outside, we would have all been, that looks really dumb in real life. What the fuck?
It looked okay on Christopher Reeve.
Yeah, but that's Christopher Reeve. He was Superman, buddy.
Going back to Marvel Universe thing, the line from Anthony Mackie when he's like, they gave Falcon a backstory, you know, blah, 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 you know. It's unfortunate, though. I was really looking forward to wearing some spandex.
That was funny. He was in town, apparently, for the press junket. So they've done some screenings. So,
and thus far the screening seemed to have gone well.
It's coming. I can't fucking wait.
The only thing, what I'm concerned about, and I'm sure that you're aware, this falls into your mind too, is that get overhyped for it. Because really, going into Avengers, even though we kind of knew that, you know, so far the track record has been pretty good.
No,
what we wound up with was way more.
They kept showing footage from the Avengers, and I was like, are you blowing your wad? Are you blowing your wad? Nope. And I was like, no, because their wad is the size of Ego the Living Planet. So fuck you for your nerdness. I am thinking that they're managing it pretty well because it has not gotten completely out of control. I think we're all fucking hyped out of our goddamn minds.
Oh yeah.
It's because we're seeing things in there and going, this looks fucking amazing.
Dude, that weekend is a huge nerd weekend because Game of Thrones comes back on Sunday that weekend. Yeah. And also Free Comic Book Day is on Saturday.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
And there's a big game that comes out that day too.
Well, yeah, see, here's the thing that I am really excited about is that apparently I was reading an interview with Chris Evans where he was talking about taking a break after his contract is done. He did a whole lot more training into like parkour and stuff because you're going to see like from the 4 minutes that they released of the fight on the ship, right? We're going to see a lot more of him being Captain America. You know what I mean? From the standpoint of, I'm going to walk into this room and fucking rule this, you know, even beyond the elevator, just being able to see him being Captain America, my Captain America, i.e. the powered up ultimate level Captain America, which I really like. Stuff like jumping out without the parachute, flipping around all those places, fucking catching the shield and flipping it around and shit. I cannot fucking wait. And that elevator scene, I cannot stop watching that fucking elevator scene. It is fucking amazing.
I stopped watching footage. I mean, my hype level isn't going to get any bigger. So I stopped watching footage after the first trailer. I haven't seen any of that stuff just because I want to see it in the theater.
Well, see, yeah, that was me too. But after Avengers, there was nothing in there. Knowing that I'm seeing the stuff without context, it's different than, say, I don't know. Avengers was so entertaining. The stuff that I knew was going to happen and had to happen because it hadn't happened yet, but I saw the footage, I didn't fucking care. As opposed to, say, like, you know, one of my beefs about Last Samurai with Tom Cruise was, the poster has you in the fucking armor. Therefore, I know you're going to be in the armor. Therefore, the hour and a half it takes you to get into the fucking armor is wasting my goddamn time. Put on the fucking armor, you know?
That movie was terrible, so it's a hard comparison to make.
And, well, again, but easy in that, if it had been good, my brain wouldn't have gone to, you know what I mean? Well, yeah. I when this happens, I know the end must be near. Please, end be near. As opposed to Avengers, where I was like, I was in there for 2 hours and 20 minutes going, I can't believe I've been in here this long, and I don't fucking care. I would like another one, please. Can I please have another one?
Yeah. There, leaving Avengers was such a drug that, I mean, it's walking out of it, you realize, you know, I realized after walking out of it, I was like, wait a minute. I didn't even think about the fact that they don't say Avengers Assemble at any time in that film.
Yeah, because you don't care. It is a perfect... Avengers is the perfect case study in how to make a comic book film. Not a film based on a comic book, but a comic book film, in that they took all the best bits from one medium and all the best bits of the other medium and left off the stuff that doesn't work. You transfer mediums, you know, or media, as the case may be, and combine them, and it was great. It was everything.
And why Warner Brothers can't seem to watch a Marvel film and learn the lessons is astounding to me.
Well, see, this goes back to what part of my beef with the people who have a beef with Walking Dead, to tie this in, is that these people seem to have forgotten that Walking Dead is making fucking history, okay? This is unprecedented in the history of television, at least in America. I mean, like, I haven't watched The Returned from France, which is their, like, their zombie genre thing, which is, as I understand it, completely different and uncomfortably like one of my own short stories. Granted, mine came out first. But my lawyer will be calling. No. But I'm like, guys, to me, that's like the people who get really pissed off that, you know, it's one thing to go, oh, I can't get to the web on my cell phone, you know? But at least have in the back of your mind, like Louis C.K. said, it's going to fucking space. Give it a fucking second. 20 years ago, you go back in time to your 20-year younger self, which in my case, I would still be 60, and you would say, hey, in 20 years, you're going to be able to surf the web. By the way, I'll explain more about that later, but you're going to be able to get any information you could want in the entire fucking world anywhere pretty much instantaneously, and you would be burned as a witch, even in, you know, 1994, you know? So I'm like, guys, you're watching the first zombie movie, like extended, first of all, extended zombie movie, but a zombie TV series where they're making history. They're doing things in episodes that haven't been seen on American television at all. And you're worried about where the fucking flies are? Are you out of your goddamn minds? You know? So it's like to me, part of the amazing thing about Avengers and why I think that DC can't get it is because they don't play the long game. Marvel played the long game and made fucking history.
And it was a huge risk.
It was.
Oh, yeah.
It was.
Every step.
Every step. But it's like nothing like Avengers has been done before. Nothing.
I mean, they leveraged their entire company on the bet that they could do this.
Yeah. And they fucking made history. There's nothing like this. I mean, the closest you could come to, I think,
was David Hasselhoff as Nick Fury. Oh, no, sorry, something else.
No, although that is one of my, I'm glad they included that quote of Sam Jackson saying, when I was a kid, Nick Fury was a white guy running through the jungle.
With other white guys. And then later.
Then it's me.
It's David Hasselhoff.
And now it's me. But although we do need, you know, this means we need a David Hasselhoff cameo in an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode. You know, we got to kind of have it. Even if it's just, what, JJ?
It would be kind of awesome.
It would be, I don't care as what, you know, but.
And if you could just somehow have him have some sort of device that has the voice of William Daniels come through.
Oh, now you're talking. Oh, yeah, that would be great. Yeah, we had a version of Jarvis back in the day as well, but it didn't say that much. Play the Jeff Daniels. Not Jeff Daniels, sorry. Oh, shit, I blanked on his name.
William Daniels.
William Daniels, you said it. I messed up. I talked about his cousin Jeff. But no, the closest thing I could come to when I think about what Avengers did was like, honestly, Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein.
Yeah.
But that wasn't planned. I mean, that was literally, these two franchises are dying. I know, let's clump them together. That's what Abbott and Costello. It's hilarious. I love the movie, but that's the closest you can come to let's have a shared cinematic universe, you know?
But even if you don't look at the long game, the thing that I'm surprised by is even if you just look short term, why they have their heads so far up their ass that they look, when they want to make a good Superman movie, they look at Batman and go, okay, well, we have to make it more like that, as opposed to watching Captain America and realizing that feeling you get when you leave the first Captain America movie, that sort of euphoric feeling. Because my feeling is with a going to see a superhero movie, like if you see a Spider-Man film, you should walk out sort of looking at rooftops going, yeah, I could web onto that one. Or a Captain America film, you know, you should feel like at any point you just want to grab a trash can lid and just charge, you know. And at the very least, a Superman film should make you want to, you know, pretend like you're 5 years old, put a towel around your throat and like run around the
And destroy all of New York.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. And you don't leave Superman. You don't leave feeling that way. I mean, you do when you see a Christopher Reeve film, even though they're kind of, the films get exponentially shitty.
Yeah.
After Superman 2.
This is true.
Superman 2 doesn't hold up.
Oh, it does for me. You know, now, granted, I will say this.
But you think Superman does?
Superman's. To me, both Superman
2 holds up better than 1, but go on.
Hang on. I think they exist to me in a bubble, is that I can watch them and remember how awesome it was and how much Christopher Reeve, to me, was Superman. Totally believed it. And what was it? I was listening to a Desert Island Discs interview that he did in 87 where he was talking about how he had no doubles. That was all him. Every time you see him, it's him, you know? And then for Superman 2, the idea of four Kryptonians fighting, you know, just was fucking brilliant. So I think to me, it holds up for me because I'm sort of like in it exists in its own little time bubble that I can go back into and remember the absolute fucking glee involved in both of those films. Now,
yeah,
but I agree with you. The problem is that Warner Brothers, and this is why I like Marvel films and not Marvel comics, is that they came at it from the standpoint of we can do different things. We don't have to do one thing. I mean, you look at them now where they're doing, you know, Cap 2 is going to be more of a thriller. You've got Guardians, which is like, you know, sci-fi action. You had Iron Man, which was like, you know, sci-fi thriller. You had the Avengers, which was everything all in one. So, but the way Warner Brothers works is the way Hollywood studios work, which is, oh, what made money? Let's do that. Not we should investigate why, but we should just do that again. And as Brother Dave told us, you can't do that again. You can do something similar. So that's why, you know, they say stupid shit like, you know, when before the Star Trek reboot, non-reboot really, but reboot, you know, people just, you know, the science fiction genre is just tired. They cannot take responsibility for either determining what will work or when something doesn't work. They can't. So that's why if Batman works, everything must be like Batman. But interestingly, they are DC Comics, and that happened in DC Comics, right? Because, oh, Dark Knight Returns was a huge success. Watchmen was a great success. Now everything should be like that. I mean, if you think about it,
yeah.
That's what happened. And that's the problem, is that not everything has to be painted with the same goddamn brush, you know? You can have the World War II adventure of Cap 1, you know, alongside the futuristic science fiction of Iron Man. You can do that. And in that way, the Marvel Cinematic Universe feels almost more like Valiant Comics than Marvel Comics. Because Marvel Comics, to me, everything always feels the fucking same. You know, it's all painted with the huge brush, which is why, you know, they can't have a series like Power Pack anymore, which was a great series for kids and adults. Oh, I admit it.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I'm like, I can't wait for that series. Where is that series on television? Because that would be brilliant.
I've been reading a lot more recent Marvel comics as of late, you know, since I bought a digital reader. And I will say that they are doing stuff now that I have been really intrigued by. They've got some more like indie writers in there.
Well, that's
and
good.
It's not as broad as it was. I mean, you've got, well, for one thing, you've got one of the members of Power Pack what they're calling the Fantastic, well, this is from a while ago, but was a Fantastic Foundation where Reed just put a bunch of like kids that are brilliant together to start thinking how to solve problems for the next generation. And so you've got that as more of a sci-fi book. And the Avengers, I've been reading the hell out of the Avengers lately, and it feels like the film and the fact that it's these sort of grand fun adventures. I mean, I a couple of days ago, tore through 6 or 7 Avengers comics just with a big fucking grin on my face.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I wanted to bring this back up when Aaron came on, because he gave me a hard time about, oh, you're not reading the comics. My problem is less with individual comics than the companies, or at least it has been. I hope it's changing, because I used to be Marvel like you wouldn't believe. I used to enjoy both DC and Marvel. But the idea that, you know, oh, well, you can kill anybody and bring them back. It doesn't matter. Death doesn't matter. Continuity doesn't matter. It does or it doesn't, depending on who's writing this week, right? That's right. What bothers me. I'm like, listen, if you want to do everything happens 7 years after the Fantastic Four went into space, which I think was their reset point always or something like that, somewhere along the line, like, great, do that. Because, yes, you know, nobody ever got pissed off that nobody, you know, that Charlie Brown never went to college, right? I've never heard that angry argument. I think the problem is when you mix and match and you go, oh, well, there's continuity now and we want you to get invested. Oh, but no, we're just going to undo all of that. That's what killed me. And I get really, really pissed off when people are, when they mistreat their characters. That's why I want to punch, what's his face? Golden Compass guy. I want to punch him in the face.
Oh, Paulman?
Yes. Yeah. Because the end of that trilogy made me want to break shit.
Interesting, because I've read 2.5 books. I never finished the third book.
Stop. Make it up. Whatever you're going to make up is going to be more awesome than what happens. Because
pretend like it's George R. R. Martin and it'll never be done.
Oh. He completely betrayed. Because I understand the philosophical point he was trying to make. And I get, and I agree with him on a lot of that. Being a card-carrying atheist myself, and that card is the Hanged Man. But I'm like, don't warp your characters to fit your agenda. You know, you came to the party with the wrong agenda. Sorry. You know, the thing that killed me on Marvel was Peter Parker took off his mask. Peter Parker would never in any fucking universe take off his mask. It just would not happen because he is too smart for that shit. You know, Reed Richards can get somebody killed. That's fine. You can have Captain America and Iron Man, even though like a week before they were talking about how they needed the Avengers and how they needed each other. They can turn on each other in the space of about 3 panels. Fine. But the moment you had Peter Parker take off his mask, I was like, you have no regard for your characters whatsoever. You don't give a shit. And that's what pissed me off about. And that was their editorial, thing. That was their editorial thing. Now, obviously, there are individual books that are going to be good, and I'm happy for that. I still need to read Hawkeye, if for nothing else, because Kim will give me back the extended members of my family. She's taken hostage. I went to try to read Infinity or whatever that thing was called. I don't even know how to describe it. It's not the Celestials, but they're sort of Celestials, but they're kind of before the Celestials have decided to wipe out the universe. So we're going to send the Avengers out to deal with it. But at the same time, Thanos is going to conquer Earth while we're gone. And I couldn't finish it. And I used to eat event comics up.
See, I've always hated event comics. I mean, even back in, I liked the first Secret Wars.
Oh yeah, because it was the supergroup thing. It was like it was a what if on a huge scale, you know?
Yeah, and there were things that came out of that lasted. I mean, Secret War, you can drive a direct line from Secret Wars to Venom. I mean, there are things that happened that stuck around.
Yeah.
But so many, with exception of maybe, what was the one where the Marauders went through and got rid of Angel's wings? That was the Fall of the Mutants.
Mutant Massacre. That's about the, that was the only thing that lasted from that. Everything else got undone, I think, within like 12 months, yeah. Something.
And so I hate events because nothing ever happened. I remember I was really excited. I'd gotten back into comics in a major way, and I was really excited by the series 52 through DC. I was like, a weekly comic. Okay, what the hell? Right. And I there were parts of that I enjoyed, but 99% of what happened in those comics reset themselves by the end. I mean, it was supposed to be, you know, what happens to the DC universe with a year without the main three characters. And it focused on interesting characters. But at the beginning of the series, Black Adam was a bad guy, then became a good guy, found love. And by the end, his girlfriend was dead. And he was a bad guy at the end. I mean, everything was contained in that story. The only thing that came out of it was, I think we have a new question.
And the question is?
From the audience.
But see, the thing is, there have been some really great event comics. Like, and again, Secret Wars to me was like, they basically made a comic book series out of what we were doing with action figures, like for years and years and years.
And right? They give us a really fun action figure set out of it as well.
So, I mean, everybody wins. But like the Infinity Gauntlet, you had the awesome thing of Cap standing up to Thanos, which I hope happens in the movies because it would be amazing. That to me is like, that was the pinnacle of regular 616 Captain America, was he's the last man standing and he goes, fuck you, I ain't sitting down. That to me was great. And the idea of, oh, I'm going to, what was it? Half of the universe's population, or Thanos just made like half the universe's population wink out of existence. And that's how this begins. So that was kind of cool. And then you had the Age of Apocalypse, which was sort of self-contained and gave you some stuff that did come out of it, like Dark Beast and whatnot. But Age of Apocalypse, I fucking loved, because I love alternate timeline stories that are within continuity where you have to figure out how to get back out of it. So I really enjoyed that, as well as even House of M I enjoyed, because it, again, was really... really well done. You had some incredible moments in there. Like, oh, well, I'm going to give everybody their heart's desire, and so everything's going to be fine. But it backfires because Wolverine's heart's desire is to know his past, so he knows his whole past. Like, and they made that happen. It's like they've made that make sense. And then you had this amazing the sequence in there that kills me is for the listeners who haven't figured out. Scarlet Witch basically changes history so that the basically Magneto and the mutants are running the show, and humans are the lesser race, and it's just everything's like, you know, I forget if Wolverine is running S.H.I.E.L.D. or something, but it's like it's one of those situations. And there's a sequence in which, oh, and part of it is you get your heart's desire. And so to try to do something for her friends, because they were still her friends, even though she decided, I'm going to fuck up the entire universe. So Spider-Man is an altered human pretending to be a mutant because he doesn't want the stigma of not being a mutant. And he is married to Gwen Stacy and has kids with her. And when he realizes this isn't the real world, it's not... He's... Of course, he can remember his entire life because it's happened. His life, his fake life has happened. Now he remembers his new life, and he goes apeshit because he's like, I have been given my heart's desire, and it's not my wife, i.e. not Mary Jane. So he's having to deal with that. And he was with who he wanted to be with, remembered that, oh, she's dead. She's been dead. None of this is real, and I have to give it up. And there's this incredible moment. And like, and then Wolverine goes after him because he basically says, I have some experience with this. And goes, and Peter's like, I'm going to find who did this and kill them. And Wolverine said, not if I kill them first. And it was so good. It was so good. And it just kills me when you have shit like, you know, like Mutant Massacre that could be so cool, or like Secret Invasion. Secret Invasion, what a missed opportunity that was. Because the entire thing about it was Bendis saying, why when the Skrulls show up, do they always have ray guns? They're shapeshifters, for fuck's sake. Why aren't they invading like shapeshifters would invade? And it just was lame.
Yeah, see, the nice thing about that is the job that I had where I was really into comics and really reading them again,
yeah.
I lost during Secret Invasion. So I ran out of money to continue buying comics. So I read the first part. I read the setup of Secret Invasion, which was awesome.
Yes.
And then never had money to finish it. So in my mind, it was a great series.
Yeah, keep that in your mind and don't go exploring.
Yeah, the moment that you found out that Jarvis had been replaced, I was like, holy shit, this series is amazing. I'm broke.
Yeah. And the problem started when the Skrulls, who are also telepathic, their powers started working like the Jedi in the prequel series, i.e., when the plot will allow us to read your mind, we can read your mind. Otherwise, we can't. Oh, shit. So, anyway, that's been the history of Marvel Crossover Comics with JJ and Widge.
John was way out.
So incredibly lame. But no, I would love to come back and you can't imagine how upset I was when New Avengers ended, because they finally got it right. They finally brought in all the big guns for a series. It was written well. It made sense. They even made it make fucking sense for Wolverine to join the Avengers, and that was the last thing anyone wanted, and it suddenly made sense. And I'm like, because I wanted to love the Avengers, but every single time I started reading it, it was like, who are all these fucking C-list characters as the Avengers, and why should I care?
You know? Gilgamesh, I'm looking at you.
Shit, long before Gilgamesh, buddy.
Dr. Druid.
Long before Dr. Druid.
Oh yeah, no, I know. When the Avengers hit rock bottom for me is when I looked at it and I was like, Gilgamesh, the forgotten one. Okay, we're going for, we like don't have any more gods to take, so we're just gonna go for like stories that no one read in college when they were supposed to. Okay.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, it's gonna turn into League of the Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah. God, when was I? I'm actually trying to look and see when. Yeah, no, I think I was right before that. I was like, I would tune in like in the early 80s and the mid 80s, and I just missed Dr. Druid.
Well, like right before that, if I remember correctly, was when they had the Masters of Evil storyline, and that was kind of a high point. It's like they went from a high point to low point within a couple of years.
Yeah, I seem to, everyone talks about, oh, that's amazing Avengers. I kept missing it, you know?
Right.
I would in at the wrong time and just be like, oh, well, shit.
Well, the run that I just have been reading, which is the run that was right before the event Fear Itself. So I'm a couple years back. But I'm enjoying, like, the portrayal of Wolverine, the fact that Wolverine is now this incredibly loyal Avenger, because they had the Red Hulk join. And everybody's like, who the hell is this Red Hulk? What's going on here? And Wolverine is the one who stands up and goes, Cap says he's an Avenger. He's an Avenger. And then he walks out of the room. It's like, I kind of like that. The fact that loyalty, it was an interesting character trait for someone who is widely all over the map when it comes to writing the character.
Well, and it's probably has something to do with the fact that, oh, Cap, you're an effective leader, as opposed to Cyclops, who just brooded a bunch.
Yeah.
And had crazy, sexy memories with the White Queen. Okay, whatever.
And that series was pretty interesting, too, when they brought back Teen X-Men. That's been a much more exciting series than I would have thought.
Teen X-Men? What?
It's in, I think it was All New X-Men, where Bendis took over, and he had the original X-Men come back or come forward in time to now.
Oh.
And so the modern X-Men had to deal with the fact, like, well, the teen Cyclops had to deal with the fact that modern day Cyclops is an asshole.
We're all dealing with that.
Yeah, and but imagine if you had if you came forward in time to realize that everything that you believe in as a young idealistic kid, you stand for the exact opposite. You know, and then on top of that, you are the one who killed Professor Xavier.
Yeah, all of that up to the killed Professor Xavier part, I can totally see how that would be really traumatic for me anyway. I don't know.
Yeah. So, and so that's, and so the series.
I'm a total asshole. Shit.
Wow, I never got attractive. Damn it. But no, and so it was, it's the series, they lived, that series has, the idea has a lot of potential, and the series actually lived up to a lot of it. I was really, I enjoyed that quite a bit, or I'm enjoying it rather. It's still going.
Well, I will check some out. I will, because I want to like comics again. I do. But, and that's what I was saying about Valiant, because Valiant was great in that, Valiant and CrossGen, even CrossGen more than that, where they had a thing that tied them all together, and yet you had your fantasy series over here, and you had your sci-fi series over here, and you had your, I've put most of it out of my mind because I was so traumatized when it left. Your like mystery Sherlock Holmes-esque series over here. Oh, yeah. It's sad. And interestingly enough, last time I checked, and Tuffley would know this, Disney owns CrossGen, so there you go. It's only a matter of time
until we get Hawkeye and that chick who was the Archer on their series. I don't remember.
Sojourn. The book was called Sojourn.
Hawkeye Sojourn.
So, anyway, having gone into comic hell for a while.
Bored yet, John?
Huh? No, I wasn't bored. No, I totally interested in all that stuff. It's just I was also trying to do something else.
Yes, that's perfectly acceptable.
He's waiting for us to have the discussion about the history of Omaha the Cat Dancer. So,
fuck, it ain't your gut.
that was for the old school comics people in the audience. I'm so old.
Raid the 50 cent bins to find old episodes of US One.
Oh shit. Wow. Well done.
I love comics.
That although you know what they need. Now, you guys know Strike Force Moratori, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Strike Force Moratori, that's now Disney, because it was Marvel. They were going to do it on the USA Network for a while. I don't even know if they shot the pilot because the whole concept, they fucked it. For the listeners who don't know, Strike Force Moratori was aliens invade. Guy comes up with basically, if you can imagine, the Terrigen Mists. You get superpowers. You don't know what kind of superpowers you're going to get, but you have at most a year to live, maybe less. But you're going to go fight in the war against these aliens. The first 20 issues of that, when I sold my comic book collection, I fucking kept those. That's like all I kept back. That and the Ambush Bug Limited series. That's all I kept.
Well, and the thing about that, too, is it would go back to what we were saying earlier. It's kind of a, it would be an anthology series in a way.
Yeah, characters come and go.
Yeah, and if somebody wanted to stay for a second season, maybe they were unusually long-lived. But, you know, at the most, one or two seasons and you're out.
Yeah.
But when they keep talking series, there's a couple of series that I've wondered why that we haven't looked at. Like, why haven't they tried to make a television series out of Runaways?
Ooh.
That was mentioned, actually. I think part of what they're looking at, and I hope they're being careful with this, is that they don't want to... If they're trying to have everything in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right?
Right.
That they can.
That they can. Don't fucking glut it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think, okay, here's the deal. that's interesting. Drew Pierce wrote a script for Runaways, and that's how he got the Iron Man 3 writing gig.
Oh.
There was, that's interesting. Pierce said that the film version has been shelved because of the Avengers, because you're right, it would work better as a series. But he has said that they're thinking about it as a TV series.
Okay. I mean, I was about to say that and DP7 would both make me very happy.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Wow. Well done.
I mean, DP7 was the only thing you'd want to come back out of the new universe, but
I didn't read Warren Ellis's take on it. But
I did catch that.
You what?
I didn't see that. So
I like the concepts of it, and I would like to see. I think some of that might be fun. I mean, hell, you could actually do. Like, certainly not Kickers Incorporated. But no, I think, honestly, you could make a decent cartoon out of Spitfire and the Troubleshooters.
Oh, yeah. And probably Justice as well, because Justice is basically just a everyman Superman.
Yeah, well, I think that would work as a live-action series if you stuck with the original premise. And not the, I'm sorry, what the fuck premise that they said they sort of retconned the entire thing.
I only know the original premise, so.
Then you're fine. But yeah, so that would be good as well. But I think of that entire thing, you would only get DP7 if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did well on its own, because they wouldn't see the difference, really.
Yeah.
But I do think you could do like a Disney cartoon of Spitfire, and it would be fun. It's, you know, as long as you don't do the pit.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Nothing new universe should ever be looked at after the pit.
Although, again, I really appreciate their willingness to blow shit up.
Well, and kind of the backstory behind it too. It's like they were so angry at Jim Shooter. They blew up his hometown.
Oh, is that why they picked Pittsburgh?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. That's fantastic.
In the new universe, they completely obliterated where Jim Shooter was from. So
yeah, it was an event thing that tied in all the comics and permanently affected them. I mean,
yeah.
Pretty much everything was affected. And I mean, if you think about it, the new universe is sort of the precursor to stuff like the Ultimate Universe and stuff like that. But yeah, no, I think they are wisely taking their time because they realize they're way out in front. They got a good thing going and they don't want to fuck it up.
The Netflix series will be very interesting. If they can pull off the Netflix series, I think they're already in good shape, but if they can pull those off successfully, that would be a major feather in their cap.
Well, and what I would like to see with the Netflix series is because, you know, as it's been mentioned here before, you've got basically Heroes for Hire in different form, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got, Luke Cage and Iron Fist. And all of this is supposed to lead up to the Defenders.
Right.
But you could basically, if you wanted to, you could do a Luke Cage and Iron Fist, you know, end one of their things and combine them. You know, you could create a Heroes for Hire series and have one series end and another one pick up, you know?
And of course, as a huge Heroes for Hire junkie, that would make me incredibly happy.
Oh, well. Oh, that is interesting. So, apparently, they are filming in New York City. They're going to film starting mid this year. All the series leading to The Defenders would be 13 one-hour episodes each, and The Defenders would be a 4-8 episode miniseries concluding the other series, i.e. they're all currently looked at as miniseries.
Hmm. Okay. That's
with
probably a good thing.
Well, with obviously, if one of them takes off, you can just run with it.
Right.
You know? So, and I think that's smart. Although, you know, all of those series can be done well, and I would love for them to do that well, because I really enjoyed Jessica Jones. I liked Daredevil when, you know, Bendis was writing him. So it could be good. I don't know.
There's an online petition right now that people are trying to make Iron Fist Asian, and I think that's a perfectly acceptable option.
Well, now, JJ, are you aware of the Iron Fist rumor that got floated years ago that they were going to do?
The one with Ray Park?
Well, no, that's right. It was they were going to do Green Hornet, which would have been awesome. They were going to do the descendant of Kato became Green Hornet, and Ray Park was basically Kato.
Oh,
you're going to switch it up. So, yeah, no, I'd be fine with whoever playing Iron Fist, as long as you got somebody, you know, good.
Yeah, well, they went down a checklist of all of the things that make Iron Fist Iron Fist, and taking them out of the comics and putting them on the screen, it does take some of the sort of questionable sort of leftover 70s kung fu ideas and make them a little bit more tolerable for modern audiences if you have an Asian Iron Fist.
Yeah.
And, you know, it certainly doesn't affect the fact that, you know, it doesn't change his story at all. It just means that, you know, his father would be a rich Asian businessman. And, you know, it doesn't mean that he couldn't still be. What?
Which is highly more likely these days.
Yeah. And, you know, and it doesn't necessarily have to, you know, one less blonde, blue-eyed character in a Marvel series is not necessarily a bad idea.
Yeah, no, I'd be totally fine with that.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the major concern I had with the Fantastic Four casting was, but they're brother and sister. I guess one of them's adopted.
Yeah, well, actually, my thing was that he looked like the only character that had the actor that they cast that had any life to him. The rest of them looked kind of boring. Well, no, the chick who played Susan Storm, actually, she's a good actress, but she has what I've heard the internet refer to as resting bitch face.
Nice.
And so I just kind of like, I don't know that I necessarily want a Sue Storm with a, you know, resting bitch face.
Oh, well, what are you going to do? So, well, now that we've covered the, I hope you all tuned in earlier in the podcast where we started with the beginning of comics with the yellow kid.
Yeah. So the Godzilla trailer.
Yeah. The Godzilla.
How'd you think?
Spoilers, Nick Fury shows up at the end and recruits Godzilla.
With damage control.
Again, another series that...
Oh, that'd be so awesome.
That would.
Yeah, so... So, hey, and here I am looking at...
It'd be a great Netflix series, right?
Well, yeah. Why not? I saw Godzilla King of the Monsters number 23. He fought the Avengers. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Then Red Ronin. Need Red Ronin. Oh yeah. Anyway. So we should probably do some recommendations.
Sure.
Since there's three of us.
Why not?
I think I've pretty much talked about everything I've done this week. Yeah. I recommend doing what I did this week.
That could be rude.
What does your girlfriend think of that?
I wasn't going to go there. Because I knew you would, John. I knew you.
Uncomfortable silence.
Oh, sweet Jeebus.
As we just make eye contact.
Carcassonne. Carcassonne is what I suggest.
Carcassonne? What? Yes.
The board game. I think it's pronounced Carcassonne. Carcassonne? I don't know. I just, the little tile European style game with the tiles, and you lay them out, and you put your little meeples out there. Your little followers.
Yeah. Of course.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Nobody knows what I'm talking about.
Not a fucking clue.
The other nerds that are listening understand what I'm talking about. It's a board game.
Wow, John now gets to feel like I feel with 80% of my jokes.
You're like, cue your own crickets, sir.
But I was actually making a recommendation for once. This game right here. Hold on.
We should support him, JJ.
You're right.
This thing right
Can't
here.
Can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter.
Boom.
Wow. It's an old joke from Greece. I take no credit.
That's good. That's good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it looks like an old school board game. And yeah, you're right. It does look like it would be pronounced Carcassonne.
It actually is a actual town, supposedly.
Carcassonne, that actually sounds like an Italian preparation of long pig.
Could be.
It does.
That silence is taken from people who don't know what long pig is.
Oh, totally. No, I know. I just actually was surprised at the fact that this has 113 reviews on Amazon, and 101 of them are 5-star reviews, and the other 11 are 4-star. This is a hell of a game.
Well, there is one guy that's 3 stars.
Oh, I missed him.
One guy.
That's John.
No, the interesting. Actually, I had a question about that, which as a guy who frequently appears in the critic section of Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
When, say, 98 critics have given a positive review, and one guy out of 100 gives a negative review.
Yeah.
Should we just bring that guy out and flail him somewhere?
No, because generally what
I'm talking about Lego the Movie.
Oh. Now, what you'll find is that there are some critics out there, and I would be fascinated to know what, where he's from. I mean, what he writes for, because they will do that to get attention. If they see that everyone is going one way, they'll go the other way to get attention. In the same way that if you see a film that you know is shite and you see a quote on it, stupendous, then look and see how small the print is of who said it. And they said that. Now, I'm not saying that every time this is the case, but in a lot of cases, a critic at you know, WBFE in, you know, Idaho will say something like that just so they get the attention.
Okay, so out of 100 and... I don't know how 174 critics.
Yeah.
168 said it was fresh. 6 said it was rotten. Out of those 6, one of them is a top critic, which was from the New York Post. Other are from such, you know, well-known sites as the Outre. Although TV Guide's Movie Guide, I guess, maybe is a legitimate site. I don't know. Grantland, of course, you know. And also the New England Movies Weekly and Eclipse Magazine. All these folks.
You're all people with no sense of fun.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, why haven't you gone and seen Lego the Movie yet?
Because I just have been a little crazy. Hopefully soon I will reveal some of the craziness, but it's been a little crazy. You know what? The problem with those critics is they had such a good time at Battleship that they wanted the same sort of film.
And I was listening to an episode of another podcast where they were interviewing Eli. I know, but they were interviewing the director Eli Roth, and Eli Roth's called the Lego Movie like one of the best American films in the last 10 years.
Wow. Nice.
Let's see. What is... let's see. He gave 300... The same guy, one of these guys, gave 300 a Rise of the Empire. The... At Fresh.
Right. Well,
made the fresh. Let's see.
I have not seen 300 Rides of an Empire, but what?
I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, my understanding is it's what you came for, you know. And JJ, I mean, you tell me what the vibe I've been hearing was, yeah, it's sort of the cinematic spectacle you wanted. It's not going to redefine cinema or anything. It's good.
If I quote my review from an episode of Mars Needs, it's even 300-ier than the original.
But what does Mars need, though? JJ?
Well, that would be Mars Needs Podcast, my usual podcast over on the website of Doom. Comes out weekly.
TheWebsiteOfDoom.com?
TheWebsiteOfDoom.com. Not WebsiteOfDoom.com. We don't own that, even though it's not an actual site. It's just an owned domain.
Jackass.
We are the website of Doom.
I also want to strangle the guy that owns UniqueGeek.com.
Yeah, I know.
and we are his unusual podcast. So.
Yes.
Yes. Luckily, we are not the Need Coffee over here.
No, that's called my friend Bailey saying, oh, you should go get this URL in 2008, and we got lucky. That's right. We've been around for that long.
So Carcassonne, that's what I'm recommending. Yeah,
so Carcassonne with a nice ragu sauce.
I'm sure a lot of people know what I'm talking about. If you don't own it already, go buy it. It's and, you know, I don't know. If you're going to buy it, I guess buy it off Amazon, maybe. There's probably a site out there like needcoffee.com/
as opposed Amazon? To theneedcoffee.com.
Thankfully not. That would be too much to remember.
That would be too much to remember. But John is absolutely correct.
I am?
Yes, you are.
Whoa.
You are. Which makes up for the following.
Hey. Oh.
Oh, I needed that this week. Anyway, he's correct. If you go to needcoffee.com/Amazon and make all of your Amazon purchases, we get pushback on that. Not pushback. We get some feedback on that. No, not feedback. We're not Hendrix. But we do get... and we'd be lighting the podcast on fire. Like the crazy world of Arthur Brown. But no, we actually do get funds from that since we are an Amazon affiliate, and it is extraordinarily helpful. So thank you for everyone who does that. I can see you doing it, not individually. I'm not watching you, only when you sleep. That's when I watch you. But when you do buy things off Amazon, it is extremely helpful.
Speaking of sleep, I just bought a mattress through Amazon, through needcoffee.com/Amazon.
Wow. Wait,
a bearded man who watches you sleep. Are you Santa Claus?
Well, JJ... Yes. Which would explain why those of you who are thinking pissed off thoughts right now got the stuff you did. all right. So my recommendations real quick. In our off week, Broadchurch is going to hit Blu-ray. And if you have not already seen it, I recommend it. Again, it's more about the incredible cast, which if you watch any British stuff at all, the first episode turns into I know that guy. Oh, shit, I know that guy. Oh, hey, I know him too. Oh, I know. Pretty much you're going to recognize every fucking body in the entire town.
Were they all in Star Wars?
No. No. Luckily. But
Lord of the Rings.
yes. In fact, two of the actors have played Doctor Who. So there you go. And
what's Doctor Who?
And the third actor was in an episode of Doctor Who. So there's been lots of it going around. Anyway, Broadchurch is extremely good. I will also recommend, and I'm going to screw up how to pronounce this, because they are a Danish band. That region of the world has been giving me fun music for a while now. It's spelled Afengen. I know it's not pronounced that way, but I can't pronounce things. So it is spelled Afengin. And they are a kind of one of those mad fusion folk klezmer bands, have a little bit of everything sprinkled in. There you go. I was just looking up. It means in Old Norse, intoxication and strength. Those are two good things to have at the same time. I've been listening to their album from 2008 called Reptilica Polaris, which is sort of insane, and I like it a great deal. Their stuff, it feels like they did some sort of shift after that, because their stuff after that I've really enjoyed as well. Their stuff before that was good, but you know, it didn't crank my tractor as much as the Reptilica Polaris, which sounds like...
And unless I am not mistaken, that's a sexual reference?
It is, actually. It is. And it's discussed in detail on David Attenborough's World of Lizard Sex. So, but yes, those are my two recommendations, and I recommend you go check them out.
It reminds me also, there was a band I've discovered recently that if anybody's in the mood for just something really fun and playful and bizarre, there's a Japanese band called Baby Metal.
Oh, and, wait, this is the three, like, aren't there like, it's like three really young people that do, okay, yeah, go.
It's kind of been all over the internet. I find it kind of fun. They are, it's three girls that got kicked out of a sort of like Menudo-like a J-pop band. And so they then formed this band called Baby Metal. So it's three young Japanese girls singing in front of a fairly heavy metal band. And it's ridiculous and playful and bizarre. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of Maximum the Hormone.
Don't know that one. What's that?
Maximum the Hormone is a group that they're most well known for doing a song called What's Up People, which was the theme to Death Note. But the thing that's fun about them, I would look up a song called, especially you, Widge, because I think you might like the fact that they're kind of all over the place, a song called Koi no Mega Lover. And the thing is, they have a drummer who is a female who can sing in kind of a J-pop style. They've got a hip-hop guy. They've got a heavy metal guy. So their songs will go from being ridiculously J-pop to ridiculously heavy. The song Koi no Mega Lover has, it's probably at least four songs in one.
Nice. And JJ, I'm assuming you know Pistol Valve?
No.
Okay. It's a term... It could be all female, but all female or all girl, like rock brass band.
Oh, like, I'm in.
10 members, and they all play stuff.
Oh, that has me written all over it.
So I will tell you and listeners, if you don't know it, hang on. Let me find the song. I have far too much in my iTunes, which is why it takes forever to do anything, because my poor machine. I need a Cray for my freaking iTunes.
A Cray for you youngins out there. It was a very powerful computer back in the day.
No, look for... it is called Sit at Cow Chair Nall, or Nail, depending on where you find it.
Okay. Sit at Cow Chair... after the show's over, I'm on my way.
Yeah, it's from their EP... Point.
That's it, no, right?
No. Keep going.
Oh.
Yeah. It's hard. So yeah.
Yeah. There are a lot of females playing lots of instruments.
Yes, I think the album is called.
That sounds dirty. Well, let me say it again. There are a lot of females playing a lot of instruments.
They're blowing horns. Getting, no, the album is called Tsunamic Girls from Tokyo. So, and that's from, I don't even know when.
I want to clean my spit valve.
That's good, because they actually have a, was it, oh God, what's the name of that disease that you can get from a dirty spit valve?
Hepatitis?
Yeah, they discovered this, it's like clarinet lung or something. It's not clarinet lung, but it's just, but if you don't clean out your brass instruments often enough, it gets a, there's a fungus that grows and gives you like a horrible respiratory disease. They just discovered it like 6 months ago.
Saxophone lung, is that?
That goes, sure, that sounds good.
I looked up clarinet lung and saxophone lung came up.
Yeah,
it has to be sex.
Spit. Well, you know, there's not, you know, if you had a bifurcated spit valve, that would be bad. I'm not sure what that even means, but it sounds bad.
It does.
It does. What would be really awful is if clarinet lung was where you had a clarinet where you should have a lung.
That's true.
Because
strangely, every time you breathe, it plays songs by Jeff Lotal.
But the thing is, it's very muted because it's inside your chest. So you could be awesome at playing lung music, but who would know?
Yeah.
Now, if you had a stethoscope, then you could like a stethoscope microscope. So it'd be like two scopes. So it'd be a stethomicroscope, and then you could like give concerts.
Now, if there is a way to do a show where you had to listen through the stethoscope, I'm pretty sure the Flaming Lips would have toured it already.
That's true. And released a box set.
Yep.
With a chocolate clarinet lung. And the USB stick would be inside. You know I'm not... They did this, right? You know that, right?
Yeah. It was okay. A chocolate brain, wasn't it? Was
chocolate
it
heart. Heart. They've done a brain, too, but I know they did the heart.
Ah, oh, Flaming Lips.
Oh, Flaming Lips. You're so fucking weird and wonderful. You know what it is? It's like the Flaming Lips is like the musical equivalent of Sid and Marty Krofft at times, really. You know? With probably less drugs, I think.
Wayne Coyne Puffin stuff.
I want them to do the soundtrack for the Puffin Stuff movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. We come to the end of another Weekend Justice. We sort of just careen to a halt as we do. And as we normally do on occasions like this, when it's our time to go back into the world, we take a moment, look at ourselves, and we say, lobbying.
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 In your spit valve.
And unless I am not mistaken, that's a sexual reference?
No, that'd be labying.
Whoa. Hey! I hate these fuckers on this call.
Q, the King's Hatred. Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Your Weekend Justice, number 213, Podcasting is No Longer a Crime, It's the National Sport, was a production of NeedCoffee.com. The show is engineered and produced by John Boutel. The league roster for this podcast was, in order of how many times they have died and come back in Marvel Comics, John Boutel, J.J. Hawkins, Rocks of Spaz House, Serve, and Rob Levy. This episode was directed by Alan Smithy from a script by Din Drain and Doc Ezra, with additional material by Michael Lonsdale and Richard Keel. All audio glitches were provided by me, Widget Walls. Especially this episode, I don't know what was wrong with my soundboard. Sorry. Special thanks to everyone who sponsors the site and makes shows like this possible. If you've already set up your easy, reoccurring micropayment at needcoffee.com/support, then you're just flat-out awesome. If you haven't given, it's never too late, though. Go to needcoffee.com/support and throw some coins in the virtual tin. Thanks in advance for that. It really helps us out. Now, here's Dakota.
Are we going to do this all night?
God, I hope not.